10 years ago or 20 years ago, it was barely 9 months ago that Benjamin Netanyahu, fresh, of course, from his genocide in Gaza, announced a historic victory which will stand for generations after that 12-day war on Iran. So was he lying then, or is he lying now when he claims that there is an urgent necessity to do what has been done? And Keir Starmer, similarly, perhaps, has shifted from saying we can't support it to, well, we'll support it a bit.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, the Foreign Secretary has defended the decision to allow the US to use UK military bases for defensive strikes on Iranian missile sites. The government previously refused Washington's requests. Yvette Cooper has told LBC this morning the change in policy is in part aimed at saving British lives.
We have seen this escalation by the Iranian regime, and we've got 300,000 British citizens, often holiday makers, and as a result of the closure in airspace are not able to return home. And that's why we have said we would provide the support for defensive action, and that is crucial.
President Trump has told Americans that more US soldiers are likely to die in its military campaign against Iran. Three personnel have already been killed since the joint US-Israeli strikes started on Saturday. Mr. Trump says combat operations against Tehran will continue until all combat objectives are complete. Former UK National Security Advisor Lord Ricketts has told LBC the UK needs to keep lobbying for a diplomatic solution.
The Gulf is very vulnerable to continued Iranian attacks. The longer this goes on, the more dangerous it is. So let's get back to the negotiation which Iran was involved with when Americans decided to strike. Let's try and get some kind of resolution which will allow the people to build a new government which is much more respectful of their rights. But that has to come from within. You can't change regimes with airstrikes.
UK defence officials say people living close to RAF Akrotiri in Cyprus will be moved as a precautionary measure following a suspected drone strike overnight. No injuries have been reported at the military base, which is used for operations in the Middle East. More than 100,000 British nationals have now registered their presence in the Middle East with the Foreign Office as part of government plans to potentially evacuate people if airspace in the region remains closed. Travel correspondent for The Independent, Simon Calder, has told LBC the closure is having a huge impact.
Bear in mind that every day that this goes on with those key Gulf hubs closed, 500,000 people are having their travel plans torn up. It really is desperate times. Of course, main concern with the people who are stranded in a place where missiles and drones are coming in to attack them. But for the tens of thousands of travellers who are stuck the wrong side of the Gulf trying to get home, it's also very anxious times.
One other story, failed asylum seekers who have entered Britain will be paid more money to leave the country and cooperate with the system. The Home Secretary, Shaban Mahmood, is due to outline plans to tighten immigration controls later this week. The new proposals are modelled on Danish policy. You can read more on this on the LBC app. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 97 at 10,813. The pound buys $1.33 and €1.13. LBC weather, rain will move east across northern and western areas, dry, mild and sunny in the southeast, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
In a world of noise and uncertainty, IG is the investment platform that backs you. Take our flexible stocks ISA, which gives you the freedom to withdraw funds anytime and replace them in the same tax year, all without losing your £20,000 tax-free allowance. And if that's not enough, pay no commission on your stocks, shares and ETFs when you invest with IG. IG. Trade. Invest. Progress. Your capital's at risk. Other fees may apply. Tax treatment depends on individual circumstances and is subject to change.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. So the only way he figures that he's going to get reelected, and as sure as you're sitting there, is to start a war with Iran.
Wow. I suppose even a stop clock is right twice a day. Although Donald Trump in that clip from 2011 was, of course, talking about Barack Obama, who didn't start a war with Iran. And of course, this is essentially the second time that Trump has either started or indeed joined a war with Iran. The last time was all those epochs ages ago in June of 2025, which led his ally Benjamin Netanyahu to declare a historic victory which will stand for generations. So where do you even start on a day like today? I think the most important, there are two things I'd begin with. The first is the near impossibility of accurately analysing activity undertaken by terrible, terrible people and barefaced liars. It makes it almost impossible to get a bead in a traditional sense on what is going on. You, even if you are politically opposed to past leaders, you acknowledge the existence and the application of international law. You acknowledge the ability to perceive tactical advantage or tactical activity, tactical plans. You can see the necessity of getting Congress to approve any action like the one that Donald Trump undertook over the weekend with just 21% support of the American population, according to the latest polls. So it is almost, that's the first thing to bear in mind. You can't stop trying to make sense of things, but it is almost impossible to do when you are dealing with depravity and or dishonesty. So I don't know whether Netanyahu was lying through his teeth last June when he claimed a historic victory which will stand for generations, or whether he's lying through his teeth now when he claims that this action was necessary because, as they've been saying for about 30 years, Iran was just moments away from a nuclear capability. And the second thing that you have to bear in mind at times like this is the fact that several things can be true at the same time. I think if you begin with those two blocks of understanding, those two bricks of comprehension, it's very hard to get a bead, especially in the early days of an assault like this, when the perpetrators, the protagonists, are so deeply dishonest and depraved. And the second thing that you have to bear in mind is that several things can be true at the same time. So this act is illegal. It is undertaken without congressional approval. It is unjustified by tactics and diplomacy. The real estate moguls that were conducting negotiations with the Iranian regime on Donald Trump's behalf failed to understand both the intent and the nuance of the Iranian position, and there is no justification for what they have done short of bloodlust and self-interest. But it can also be true, and indeed it is true, that many Iranians, particularly members of the Iranian diaspora, whether they are in other countries by necessity because they are dissidents or refugees or the descendants of refugees, or whether they are in Iran itself, will welcome the killing of the Ayatollah for obvious reasons, a hideous and murderous regime. But it's also true that he was 86 years old, he'd had cancer twice, and an awful lot of experts on the ground cautioned against turning him into a martyr because he was certain to die soon, very soon. Some reports suggest that he didn't seek the sort of security that he could have availed himself of precisely because he felt that his cause would be better served by martyrdom than by squirreling himself away under a mountain somewhere and surviving this attack in the same way that he survived the last one. So several things can be true at the same time. You can't really trust anything that Donald Trump or Benjamin Netanyahu say, and the killing of the Ayatollah will be welcomed by many Iranians. It's a great call. When we talked about the last time they claimed that they'd undertaken a historic victory which will stand for generations, I don't know, maybe in Netanyahu's world 7 or 8 months is several generations. Maybe it's one generation a month if you're signing up to his world view. But I remember taking an extraordinary call when we talked about the last attacks on Tehran from somebody who effectively said that if your children are being held hostage, then you don't care if the person that rescues them is a rapist. It's like a weird moral hierarchy, isn't it? In its purest and most simplistic form, it would be my enemy's enemy is my friend. my enemy's enemy is my friend. I am so keen as a patriotic Iranian to see this regime toppled that I really don't care who does it. That's the position, and that can be true at the same time as well. So far at 9 minutes after 10, we're effectively just making a list of things that can be simultaneously true, even when they seem sometimes contradictory. But the people I am most reluctant to argue with, and you know me, I'm rarely reluctant to argue with anyone, are those people. The people, because that feels to me like a position that demands skin in the game that most of us contemplating this carnage don't have. I don't care who is responsible for liberating my country, which of course hasn't happened yet, because the liberation of my country is more important than any other consideration, whether it be international law or the moral decrepitude of the men responsible for this particular campaign. And you can extend that to, I don't care who was responsible for killing the Ayatollah, because I wanted him to be killed so passionately and so deeply that I don't care about the identity of the person that's done it. And when you begin that argument, or when you begin exploring that position, you lead yourself inevitably to the question that David Petraeus, one of the most successful US soldiers of recent years, the question that David Petraeus was famous for asking, which was, of course, tell me how this ends. And those words became extraordinarily prescient, didn't they? As the commander of the US 101st Airborne Division, he was talking about Baghdad in 2003. The soldier asked a reporter called Rick Atkinson of the Washington Post, tell me how this ends. So for people celebrating the removal of the Ayatollah from the world map, that question is one that becomes simultaneously impossible to answer and incredibly important, but not today, tomorrow. Tell me how this ends. Well, we can't. Can you think off the top of your head of a regime, whether theocratic or autocratic, that was toppled by external pressure and replaced by stability? That's not a trick question, or indeed a rhetorical one. I was trying to think earlier. So Libya, essentially French, British and NATO forces accelerating the removal from Gaddafi. Libya descended into hell. Iraq, Saddam Hussein removed by American and some European forces. Of course, some European leaders demonstrated during the second Gulf War that you do not have to handcuff yourself to a bloodthirsty American president. The French most obviously achieved that, while Tony Blair essentially answered every question from George W. Bush, with the response, how high? How high? So Iraq saw its regime, its hideous regime, toppled by external pressure and descended into hell. Afghanistan, where much blood was spilt, is still controlled, or is once again controlled, by the Taliban. So external pressure brought to bear on a theocratic regime, result, carnage, chaos, hell for the people that live there. There might be other examples, but I can't currently nail a couple. Kosovo, kind of, but you can't really talk about Kosovo outside of the context of the former Yugoslavia, and the idea that, maybe you can actually, but the notion that you can somehow replace horrors with pleasantness seems at the very best to be naive. And then we come to Sir Keir Starmer and his position on this, which is, I think you'll allow me to say this, because I've been fairly clear in my condemnation of what has gone on, even as we acknowledge that it will be welcomed by many people who don't care what happens tomorrow. They care only about what happens today, and they don't care about who is responsible for delivering what they wanted, because the desire for what has been delivered will outweigh the disgust at who has delivered it. And that's fine. I'd be like that myself, I imagine, if I was an Iranian dissident living in London. But you come then to the question of what Keir Starmer has done, and I think, and I'm here to be told otherwise by you, as ever, on this programme, I think it's more nuanced than the initial coverage allows. So he was getting a kicking in some newspapers this morning because the announcement that they would be allowing UK bases to be used in some very specific contexts. But he's getting a kicking from the people that told you the Iraq war would be an absolute cakewalk. He's getting a kicking from the same people that told you last June's attack on Iran was a historic victory that would last for generations. He's getting a kicking from people who can't help but think, whatever the situation, whatever the scenario, pick a side first and think about things second. And that's, a terrible thing. But what Keir Starmer has done is respond to the Iranian response. Now, you tell me whether this sounds like splitting hairs or not to you. So Iran launches attacks upon the people or the positions responsible for attacking Iran, and that brings us and or our allies into the firing range. So he did not allow British bases to be used in the first instance, whether Diego Garcia or whether the airport base in Norfolk or Suffolk, forgive me, Lakenheath, isn't it? Is it Lakenheath? Anyway. He didn't do that in the first instance, but Iran retaliates to the attacks upon Iran by launching missiles at our allies, including Jordan, and other countries. And therefore, Starmer concludes that, well, have a listen to what Keir Starmer had to say, actually, because I think it's worth paying a little bit more than lip service to what he describes as a limited defensive purpose.
The United States has requested permission to use British bases for that specific and limited defensive purpose. We have taken the decision to accept this request to prevent Iran firing missiles across the region, killing innocent civilians, putting British lives at risk, and hitting countries that have not been involved.
And so that's what that's the pinhead upon which he, the British Prime Minister, is dancing this morning. We were not party to the offence, which is probably illegal, as the Defence Secretary, John Healey, sort of danced around repeatedly while being interviewed yesterday. I don't know if the probably in that sentence is redundant, really, in a moral sense or even in a technical sense. But, of course, in a literal sense, you can't conclude that it's illegal until the work has been done. But, of course, it doesn't matter when you're going to war with Benjamin Netanyahu. International law is not something that you're going to be particularly worried about. That rule book has already been ripped up and set fire to. But Starmer's dancing on a pinhead whereby he was not party to or complicit in the original attack upon Iran, but he needs to help defend our allies and possibly even our own bases from Iran's retaliation. And I don't think that is... Indulge me for one moment more. In terms of radio phone-ins, which is what we do together every day, in terms of radio phone-ins, that is not as fruitful a question as simply asking should Keir Starmer have helped or not. But I think we owe it to each other to be a little bit more responsible than to ask the largely pointless but incredibly simplistic question about whether or not Keir Starmer should have got involved. He didn't want to, and he didn't get involved when it was an act, almost certainly, of international criminality. But when the target responds by assaulting allies or even British bases, then can you really sit there and say that a UK Prime Minister should not be party to attempts to minimise those and even neutralise those attacks? And that is the nuance. So we'll talk about this a lot today, and we'll come at it from lots and lots of different angles. But I worry, looking at some of the early reactions to that speech from Keir Starmer, I worry that we're all in danger of going a little bit undergraduate or going a little bit footballification. As you pick a side, and of course, if you were cheering last time they secured their historic victory that will stand for generations, you're probably lost to morality now. You're not going to sit there and say, hang on a minute, I can't be in favour of this one without admitting that I believed the lies about the last one. I don't know how you... I don't know how you process information like this, but for the rest of us who can recognise nuance or can at least try to understand things, given that it's very hard to do when the key protagonists are blatant and barefaced liars, Keir Starmer tries to walk a tightrope And that tightrope today involves not being part of the original unprovoked and almost certainly illegal attack upon Tehran, but being party to the attempts to minimize the consequences of Iran's retaliation upon our allies and ourselves, which is why he has done the right thing, even though it feels, and to a certain extent sounds, like the wrong thing. Because here is what the alternative would be. Iran launches missile after missile after missile at our allies in the region and quite possibly at British bases, and we are not part of either the defence or the response to those attacks. Provoked attacks. Crucial distinction number 307. Provoked attacks. Iran's attacks upon enemy, upon allied positions or upon British bases are provoked attacks. They are attacks provoked by the United States and Israel. But what do you do? Do you do nothing? Do you say to the Americans, you cannot use our bases to defend our allies because you've just used them to attack our enemies? You've just launched an unprovoked attack upon our enemy, so you can't use our bases to defend our allies from their provoked retaliation. And that's what I mean about it being suboptimal from a phone-in point of view, because it's not just pick a side, get your rattle and start waving your scarf in the sky furiously shouting about how the other lot are awful and your lot are fantastic. We can leave that to the other 80% of the UK media. What I want you to talk to me about today is whether or not Keir Starmer has got this right by distancing himself from the unprovoked and almost certainly illegal attack upon Iran, which enjoys next to no public support in either this country or the United States of America, but responding to the retaliations from Iran by contributing to the process of resistance. It's complicated, right? I mean, it's not so complicated that you don't understand it, but it may have needed a little bit of explanation from those of us who are paid to do this kind of thing. I don't quite see what else he could have done. To sit on his hands while British allies and even potentially British bases come under attack, or to do what he has done while distancing himself originally from the unprovoked criminality. That's it. That's the conversation I want to have first up today. 0345 6060 973 is the number that you need. Hit the numbers now, you will get through. Other angles that we will no doubt get to later in the program, notwithstanding, not least the fact of how on earth can you need another war just 9 months after a historic victory which will stand for generations? I don't know. But I want to know first about our Prime Minister, our country and our role. So we're not part of the original attack, but we are going to be part of the responses to the provoked responses to the original attack. And that's complicated, and it's nuanced, and it's not clear immediately. It's certainly not binary, but I think the Prime Minister's got it right. Do you? 0345 6060 973.
LBC.
Okay, do emails. Ah, burnt toast. And now I've got to sort my repeat prescription.
Or just tap the NHS app.
The one I've already got?
Yep, you can check test results, view your GP health record and request repeat prescriptions anytime, anywhere.
All while the kettle's boiling?
Before it boils. And turning on notifications means you'll know the moment you get a new message. We're delivering an NHS fit for the future. Never miss a message. Request repeat prescriptions and more when you tap the NHS app.
Tesco Insurance are driving down the cost of motoring with 10% off car insurance. Take out a car insurance policy before the 15th of May 2026 and you'll get 10% off with club card prices. We offer a range of cover options so you can choose the one that's right for you. Save 10% when you buy or renew a car policy with Tesco Insurance. Search Tesco Car Insurance and get a quote direct today. Club card required. Excludes add-ons. T's and C's apply.
How big's the job? Compact and nimble? That's the Vauxhall combo. A bit of everything? Meet the award-winning Vivaro. Or is it a load-it-all job? That's Movano. Whatever the job, there's a Vauxhall van for it. Right now, during the Vauxhall Pro Days van event, until the 16th of March, you can save £750 off any new Vauxhall van, electric or diesel, on top of all other offers. Search Vauxhall van range. Business users only, 18 plus, £750 excluding VAT. T's and C's apply. Search Vauxhall van range.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
It is 24 minutes after 10. The position is a lot clearer than some of the coverage might allow. Keir Starmer has announced that the United Kingdom will be party to US attacks upon the bases from which Iran is launching missiles, and Iran is launching missiles at our allies and potentially at us. There's one drone attack on the RAF base in Akrotiri, Cyprus, that appears to have been launched before he announced the latest position for the UK government. So what else was he supposed to do in this context? But he's trying, in one sense, to have his cake and eat it, to detach himself from the original unprovoked illegal attack in conjunction with the genocidal Prime Minister of Israel and the morally bankrupt President of the United States of America. He has not signed up for that, but he has signed up for the response to the response. And I don't know whether that sounds to you like splitting hairs or dancing on the head of a pin, or like the reality of a complex and nuanced situation. And for now, until you tell me otherwise, I am leaning to the second analysis quite heavily. Much more, for example, than 52-48. Val is in Hove to kick things off. Val, what would you like to say?
Hi, James.
Hello.
So can I just give a little disclaimer?
Of course.
I think I'm not Iranian, and I think I feel really bad for taking up the phone lines when I think it's exclusively people from Iran or of that extraction should be calling you. However,
not yet. I mean, hang on a minute. You're going to critique the show, then I need to justify myself. This is a question about a British population's opinion on the
absolutely.
British Prime Minister. We'll have a phone in later in the show about the Iranian response, which will be conflicting and contradictory and complex. But this is a phone in about what British people
absolutely.
Or British residents think about the actions of the British Prime Minister. So don't feel bad
absolutely.
About taking up a phone line.
Absolutely. Thank you for that.
Okay.
What I want to say is that from the point of view of somebody who has lived in the Middle East for more than 15 years in the UAE, in Dubai, and around Dubai in other places, the situation is too complex to call. And Keir Starmer's response it's too early to say whether it's appropriate or not, because the situation in the Middle East is extremely complicated.
Well, that will be true when it's over. I mean, however it ends, it's too early to say whether we were right to go into Iraq alongside George W. Bush. But but that's the question that I'm asking, is that whether or not, with the facts as we currently know them, Keir Starmer appears to have made the right call.
It's too early to say.
Why have you rung me?
Because I think it's important to point out the complexity and the nuance of the situation.
Yeah, well, I just did that for 20 minutes.
I know, and I wanted to support you in your,
Well, I mean, the nature of Western democracy is such that there will be opinion polls being conducted as we speak. There will be speeches in the House of Commons. There will be pages of editorials. There will be broadcasters, including this one, offering up their two penneth, and all heading towards a question, which is whether or not we or they have done the right thing or the wrong thing. And I have to, not just for professional reasons, but for very personal reasons as well. I have to disagree with you completely that it's too early to have a conversation about what is happening in Iran, and indeed about what Keir Starmer has elected to do about it. Maybe we'll talk another few more generations have passed since the next victory that Benjamin Netanyahu will no doubt be describing later today. Armin is in Kingston. Armin, what would you like to say?
Hi, good morning, James. Thank you for taking my call. I always, like to talk to you over the phone.
Good.
Firstly, if I had a time, I wanted to say something. You know, killing a 89-year-old, old man who was already, sick, and for the last couple of months, going to hospital and come back, and one of his beliefs was if he killing in a war, he's going straight in heaven. I don't think it's a very good achievement for United States or Israel.
Are you Iranian yourself?
Yes, I am.
I think there's two things that many of us won't be as aware of as you are. The first is that the faith. If you like, of the Ayatollah is a huge part of the propaganda machine in Iran, and he has made that point repeatedly. He craved martyrdom, and you could argue that he has been handed it by Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu.
Exactly. It could be his last wish that in Ramadan he was fasting, and then during the war straight in heaven. And his followers, they believe this. I don't think it's a very good achievement, and it doesn't show anything. We have to, and also everyone knows that, the reason who the Israel and United States start this war is nonsense, because, we're talking about the country that United States admire their missiles. They're copying Iranian, drones, the Shahed one in United States. And then they're claiming Iran wanted to have a nuclear weapon and they couldn't have it. It's a kind of nonsense, and it's a claim that more than 20 years...
They also claimed that they'd eradicated the capability last June. But let me nudge you, if I may, towards what Keir Starmer has done, because your comments about the killing of the Ayatollah, and, of course, as we'll discover shortly, the killing of pretty much everybody else that the United States administration had identified as possible favoured successors. I talk about a mess. Yeah. Keir Starmer is left with a decision now, as attacks are launched from Iran upon UK allies, and in the case of the RAF base in Cyprus, upon UK installations, and he is simply left with this question: Do we support attacks upon the people attacking, quotes, us, end quotes, or do we continue to stay out of it? And he has elected to support the people attacking us. Is that the right thing to do, with all of your other misgivings about the bigger picture notwithstanding?
If Kirsten and UK believes that the United States and Israel are allies and are friends, okay, why once they are friends do something for us? Why this time...
You're jumping ahead again. Starmer is only able to deal in the moment that we find ourselves in.
The US and Israel have
attacked Iran illegally and without justification, but with a result that many of your fellow Iranians will welcome, the toppling of the Ayatollah, by no means all of them. And Keir Starmer is watching a drone make its way towards Akrotiri in Cyprus, a UK RAF base. Missiles flying from Iran towards many of our allies in the region, our well-established allies. And he has been asked to help with the response to those attacks, and he said, yes, I will. Do you approve or disapprove of that moment, that single decision?
I believe that any escalation, this war, just cost more human life, more ordinary life in Iran and in the region. And if UK wants to help any people in Iran or in the region, just should ask for de-escalation, not, improving the war.
I said I was going to be reluctant to argue with any Iranians today, and I am, because I don't have family on the ground, I don't have skin in the game, but I think you'll allow me to say that you sound a little naive if you think that Keir Starmer can sit idly by while attacks are made already upon UK bases and somehow prevail upon people like Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump to de-escalate on what? On humanitarian grounds? On moral grounds? Have you ever encountered these men before? That ain't ever going to happen. So I'll join you in the ideal world that you describe, while politely perhaps reminding you that that's not the world that we inhabit. 10:33 is the time. The number you need, 0345 60 60 973. The central question, and obviously as the first two callers have inevitably demonstrated, you are going to want to go off-piste, and I'm not minded really to stop you, but I do want a few more answers to the question regarding what Keir Starmer has done, and my increasing conviction that he has actually got it just about right, but in hideous circumstances that will, quotes, please, end quotes, nobody, because there's nothing here to be pleased about. Dominic Ellis has your headlines.
The Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper has told LBC all options being explored to help British nationals stranded in the Middle East. 102,000 citizens have registered their presence in the region with the Foreign Office as part of government plans to potentially evacuate people if regional airspace remains closed due to the conflict in Iran. The Foreign Secretary has also told LBC the decision to allow the US to use UK military bases to target Iranian missile strikes is legal, but Yvette Cooper wouldn't say whether she believes the US military campaign is a breach of international law. People living close to RAF Akrotiri in Cyprus are being moved as a precaution following a suspected drone strike overnight. No injuries have been reported at the military base, which is used for operations in the Middle East. And authorities in Kuwait say several American warplanes have crashed near a US airbase in the country. Officials say all crew members have survived and are stable in hospital. LBC weather, rain moving east across northern and western areas, dry, mild and sunny in the southeast, a high of 15 degrees.
This is LBC.
You've probably been with the same energy supplier for decades. And why wouldn't you be? Loyalty matters. But lately, bigger hasn't always felt better. You've probably dealt with long waits and endless automated menus in search of someone who can actually help. Octopus Energy is now Britain's biggest energy supplier, trusted by over 8 million customers, because we do things differently. Our people focus on the most important thing, you. When you call, you'll speak to a real person. No robotic scripts, no computer says no, just an honest conversation with someone who actually wants to help. Join the millions who've already made the move. Octopus Energy, recommended by Which, a record 9 years running. Visit octopus.energy/better for verification.
Everything breakfast at Ocado. Save on yoghurt, cereal and get a great price on milk so you can splurge on eggs, even from quails. Perfect if you have the urge to eat a dozen eggs but you aren't that hungry. Save and splurge at Ocado, the online supermarket. Select lines only, geographical restrictions, minimum spend and charges apply. Offers end 24th of March. Terms and offer info at ocado.com/terms.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
A Southern Train is a place where you can have more me time. A chance to recharge yourself and your phone. To stretch out, sit back, and when you hear "All change, please," you'll know you already have. Go with your flow and save with advanced tickets at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
10:37 is the time, and if things are not currently complex or nuanced enough for you, the intelligence currently, or the propaganda, because it's hard to tell the difference when the blood starts being spilt. Speaking of which, Donald Trump's response to the killing of three US personnel was blood-curdlingly awful and inappropriate, and I'm almost minded not to play it to you because it's so hideous, but it's important that you hear it. But as if things were not complicated or nuanced enough, the intelligence suggests that the drone which was directed at RAF Akrotiri in Cyprus, the RAF base in Cyprus that you just heard Dominic describe people being evacuated from, the intelligence seems to suggest that it was launched before Keir Starmer announced that UK bases would be used to defend allies against Iranian attacks. But it landed, or it reached Cyprus, after he had made the announcement. So I mean, that means it fits both arguments, and you can choose to believe or not believe accordingly, but the official version of events, and there's no reason to doubt it because these things are measurable, is that it was launched before he made his announcement, but landed after he made his announcement. And his announcement was made, something else that you may have missed. I'm asking you today to really focus upon something that you probably weren't previously aware of. coverage in your newspapers this morning is behind the curve, because most of them went to press before Keir Starmer made the decision that he has made. The number of messages I got when I sat down at 10 o'clock praising Keir Starmer for staying out of it suggests that you hadn't actually yet got yourself up to date with the very, very latest developments. I did a sort of double, triple, quadruple take at my inbox. What I'm asking you to focus on is something that you haven't had a great deal of time to process. And in normal circumstances, I'd wait until tomorrow. But these are not normal circumstances. The British Prime Minister has announced, alongside France and Germany, something else you may not have been aware of. The E3 group, we are known as, and all three members of the E3 group, in a joint statement, have described their readiness to take, and I'm going to quote directly here, necessary and proportionate defensive measures, that's the end of the quote, but the description continues, to protect their interests and those of their allies in the Middle East. So it is a distinction between attacking Iran for no reason, which is what Donald Trump and Benjamin Netanyahu have done, and attacking Iranian positions because they are being used to attack us. I use the word fairly loosely, but it's best described by that phrase, our interests and those of our allies. And I mean, there's one wrinkle here that I'll share with you. Why do they need our help now? They didn't need our help to launch the initial attacks. So why do they need British bases for the second wave? To which I suppose one answer would be that it is not necessarily in the US or the Israeli interests to dedicate much energies to protecting our interests and those of our allies. Or that there are two campaigns here. There's the first unprovoked attack upon Iran, and then there is the response to Iran's response. And I don't currently see how the United Kingdom or France or Germany can sit idly by while Iran, provoked, most obviously, attacks our interests and those of our allies. And the more I think about it and the more I talk about it, the more hardened my position becomes. Let me find a text that that will put something of a fly in the ointment of my growing certainty, because you shouldn't be certain at times like this. It's dangerous, unless, of course, you're the ones making the decisions. Sam's in Leeds. Sam, what would you like to say?
Oh, hi, James. Hello. Yeah, I think the reason that the America need our air bases is that we can't refuse them, is because we don't have much of a choice, do we? We're not a superpower like America. We're not. Economically, we did refuse.
We did refuse. We did refuse.
Initially.
Yeah. So we can.
Initially. But our economy is so linked, we're so dependent on America.
That was true yesterday when we were refusing to help them with the original attack.
But Iran have escalated its attacks, hasn't it, on places like Dubai.
So the calculation by Starmer is based upon events, not upon context. I honestly think, just like France did in the Gulf War too, I think Starmer could have stayed out of this. But when Iran start attacking our interests and our allies, he can't. And I don't think it's because we're a sort of poodle stapled to whoever happens to be in the White House. That's been true in the past. And listen, mate, I could be completely wrong about this, but listening to his speech and looking at the situation and cognizant of the fact that we are in exactly the same position as France and Germany, I think this is a tactical decision, not a pragmatic one.
I'm not sure that we are in the same position as France or Germany. Germany doesn't have air bases all over the world, does it?
In a joint statement, the leaders of the United Kingdom, France and Germany said Iran's reckless attacks endanger both military personnel and civilians, and that they will all take necessary and proportionate defensive measures to protect their interests and those of their allies. So,
but is America asking Germany to use their air bases?
No, but the willingness to do so is what's been established in this joint statement. The willingness to be part of the response to the response.
But they're not going to ask Germany for any help either. So Germany saying that doesn't really make any difference. Germany has really nothing to offer America. So Germany can say pretty much whatever they like. Whereas the UK...
We'll have to wait and see. They're vowing defensive action. So, that's not merely... allowing facilities to be used. But yeah, you make a powerful point that the UK exposure here, most obviously in Diego Garcia, is unique among our own allies and unique in the context of our relationship with America. But I still would lead you back to the original refusal. If we were so in hoc to whoever's in the White House, we would not have been able to say, no, we're not going to help you with the original unprovoked attack, but we will play a part in the response to the provoked response. Oh, man.
Well, I don't think the UK knew the extent of what was going to happen.
No, maybe not.
So we were on the back foot straight away. This country probably learned what was happening on the news.
Well, the Prime Minister wouldn't
have said anything to us.
Prime Minister wouldn't have done, but I don't think the lines of communication are anything like as fertile and as fruitful as they would be when you haven't got a military action being undertaken by allies who happen to be a depraved moral bankrupt and the genocidal leader of Israel. So, you know, these are not normal times. But there are elements of it that have to be normal. And this is where my defence of Starmer kicks in that it is normal for the UK to take necessary and proportionate defensive measures to protect their interests and those of their allies. It's 10:45. I said I needed a text to give my head a wobble, and this is quite a good one. Starmer has to get involved because we can't trust Netanyahu and Trump to do this themselves, ? Seriously, James, ? I don't think I said that, but if that's what you've taken from what I've said, then it has currency. Starmer shot himself in the foot, arming war criminals and justifying genocide. He's now reaping that commitment and dragging our armed forces into protecting war criminals. It's sick. If you want to say it's pragmatic in such a crap situation, but it's utterly disappointing to know that we can be led into this by other people telling us to shut up and agree. I'm glad I've read that out, because I think that's nuts. I don't think you're reflecting anything that you've heard on this program. It's an entirely unprovoked and almost certainly illegal attack upon Iran, but it's also a massive provocation which has resulted in Iranian forces attacking at least one UK airbase that we know of, not to mention numerous allies. And the two questions seem to me to be profoundly different. Do we join in an illegal attack being undertaken by war criminals, or do we join in the response to that attack, which involves us and our allies being in the actual firing line? I don't know. I need you to describe to me what doing nothing would look like. It's 10:46.
This is LBC.
You're really building that business, Josh. That's because you chose to bank with Virgin Money, earning cash back on your supplies, turning expenses into rewards on everything from Sanders to skip hire. He came, he soared, he conquered. Open Virgin Money's M account for business now. UK excludes NI, Channel Islands and Isle of Man. 18 plus. Terms and exclusions apply. Cashback rate of 0.25% backed by the current account switch service. Virgin Money is a trading name. Applies to Bank PLC.
You want £1 million.
I'd love £1 million.
So you enter the birthday draw. It's a very personal draw. So you think of a personal way to spend £1 million.
I would hire a hype man so everything I do would suddenly be epic.
It's a lucky day, and you win the birthday draw. So,
let's go, Kev. Goat cheese bagel for lunch. Woohoo!
Is it your lucky day? For your chance to win £1 million, just search the birthday draw and enter now. From Global and ITV. 18 plus UK only. No purchase necessary.
Right, who's all in for Cancer Research UK's Race for Life?
Sunday Leaguers, dog lovers, bait cubbers, banger dancers, baby ravers, potters.
Whether you walk it, jog it or run it, go all in against cancer. All in to help fund life-saving research.
Sign up to your local 3K, 5K, 10K or Pretty Muddy event from just $14.99. Search Race for Life. Prices vary by event distance and participant age.
How big's the job? Compact and nimble, that's the Vauxhall combo. A bit of everything, meet the award-winning Vivaro. Or is it a load-it-all job? That's Movano. Whatever the job, there's a Vauxhall van for it. Right now, during the Vauxhall Pro Days van event, until the 16th of March, you can save £750 off any new Vauxhall van, electric or diesel, on top of all other offers. Search Vauxhall van range. Business users only, 18 plus, £750 excluding VAT. T's and C's apply. Search Vauxhall van range.
A message from TfL.
I saw him in the local news a few days after. His name's Rakesh. They had to put him into a coma just because I didn't look again at that turning. He had two kids. How did I not see his bike ahead of me? Well, I didn't look again. He didn't make it.
Drivers, take another look, not a life. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60973.
It is 10:48. Let me rattle through some texts and then get back to the phones. The US and Israel, writes Alex, have put us all at risk. Now we have to help them? We need to grow a backbone and learn how to say no. But of course our politicians are complicit and compromised. Again, I disagree, but it may be that I end up in a lonely corner this morning. I've addressed this, Justin. The British base in Cyprus was only bombed after Starmer agreed to let the US use it for its illegal war. The intelligence is that it was launched before the statement, but landed or was intercepted after, or crashed into RAF Akitori after the statement had been made. So there is something that people are going to be wrestling over for months to come. It seems like you're all forgetting, says Lester, that Israel and America attacked Iran, and Iran is defending itself. If there'd been an attack from another country in the region, then surely it's legitimate for them to attack those countries. And Edward says, there is no nuance, James. Iran is firing back at the sites used to attack them. Starmer has now justified Iran attacking the UK. I'm quite sure Trump will be grateful by again claiming that we didn't help at all while simultaneously increasing tariffs. Win-win. So, Jordan, a historic ally of the United Kingdom, intercepting two ballistic missiles on Saturday, according to Reuters, and the site of US air base. The idea of us doing nothing while our allies are under attack is one that many people can live with. But I think it's important to understand what it is that you're endorsing and supporting. I don't know whether it's a breach of treaty, but it's certainly a breach of trust. And that is the problem with having reprobates in charge of entire countries, whether it's Israel or the United States of America. And that the old frameworks and the old systems are still in play up to a degree, albeit international law has essentially been shot to pieces by these two characters. But the old network of obligations and treaties still holds. And Starmer and the German leader and the French leader are meeting their obligations, their historical and diplomatic obligations. Unfortunately, that means, because Netanyahu and Trump are reprobates, that means edging ever closer to people who've undertaken a war for no moral or legitimate legal reason. I don't know if I can keep shouting nuanced at you, but I do think it's a lot more complicated than some of those messages allow. Nick's in Manchester. Nick, what would you like to say?
Morning, James. Hello. You okay?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm trying to get my head around this.
Good.
But
it's important.
It is very important. I've come to the conclusion that I think that he's done the right thing.
Yes. But it's still horrible. You don't have to love it or like it or want to cheer it from the mountaintops. You just have to acknowledge it's the least bad option.
It is the least. He's never going to be. There's not a good option in this. And I think to stay out of the initial illegal attack, right decision. Now to defend UK interests, the right decision. He has to essentially clean up the mess that's been made initially. And he has to do that by intervening, by staying out
of it. What would doing nothing look like? So we know what doing nothing looks like in the context of the original attack, but doing nothing now, is it splitting even more hairs to say we could intercept the missiles without attacking the launch pads? We could, if you like, I don't know, battle the bullets, not the guns. And that might be easier to accept on a sort of moral plane.
Maybe on a moral plane, but I mean, say a UK base gets attacked and people are killed, you know, touch wood, the scrutiny on Keir Starmer will be, why didn't he do anything about it?
Yeah.
You can't win. The best thing to do is to do something about it, but not get involved in the first illegal action, regardless of how many...
I agree with you, because I've been exploring this position for ages, but, well, all morning, rather. No one's been doing any of this for ages. It only happened this weekend. But the emotional argument, the sense, the feeling that we shouldn't be anywhere near any of this is one that I fully understand and appreciate. I just don't share it. I don't think we have that luxury.
It's hard emotionally. This is what I've been rattling with, and this is why I was kind of umming and ahhing about this phone-in. You're right. Because from an emotional sense, yeah, of course we should stay away from it. Like, from a logic sense, you know, if we'd have known about this attack, I don't know how much what happens in politics, I'm not going to speculate, but essentially I can only imagine that council would have probably asked a lot of the EU may have tried to deter Netanyahu and Trump from actually doing this in the first place. Yeah, we're not met with any of that luxury.
No,
we're
that's the missing piece of the jigsaw, isn't it? It's happened, whether you like it or not, and no one really likes it except Benjamin Netanyahu, Donald Trump, and their closest or most enthusiastic and bloodthirsty supporters. As in the context of the attack, as we've established, there are plenty of Iranians who will welcome the removal of the Ayatollah, but it's happened. So Starmer was making two decisions in two different worlds. He was making the original decision in a world where it hadn't happened, the attack upon Iran, and his decision was, no, we're not going to help. And then he was making a decision, a different decision in a different world after the attack upon Iran had happened and after Iran had retaliated by targeting our facilities and our allies. And that is a different question with a different answer. And that is, of course, the missing bit of the jigsaw, is that there's two different worlds in which these questions have been asked, the before and after the attack. And you can agree with the illegality and the immorality of the original attack, but you cannot argue with the fact that it's changed the context, the world in which Keir Starmer answers the same question for the second time in a completely different world, a world where it has happened and Iran is now attacking everyone from Jordan and Dubai through to the UK base in Cyprus. I'm still there. You're not nudging me back, but you're welcome to try on 03456060973. Speaking of what would happen in the event of UK personnel being lost through targeted missiles or even through later involvement in some sort of military campaign, which I still think is highly unlikely, all you can do is pray that our Prime Minister would never respond to the loss of British military personnel in the way that Donald Trump responded to the loss of three U.S. military personnel.
Earlier today, CENTCOM shared the news that three U.S. military service members have been killed in action. As one nation, we grieve for the true American patriots who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, even as we continue the righteous mission for which they gave their lives. We pray for the full recovery of the wounded and send our immense love and eternal gratitude to the families of the fallen. And sadly, there will likely be more. Before it ends, that's the way it is. Likely be more, but we'll do everything possible where that won't be the case. But America will avenge their deaths and deliver the most punishing blow to the terrorists who have waged war against basically civilization. They have waged war against civilization itself.
He made that speech, and indeed he appears to have launched the attacks, or given the say-so for the attacks, from his holiday resort in Florida. Make of that what you will. It is 10:56, and just in case you're confused about how we opened the programme, and you're thinking, hang on, that voice sounds like... That sounds just like this guy.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. So the only way he figures that he's going to get reelected, and as sure as you're sitting there, is to start a war with Iran.
And here we are, starting a war with Iran, when his negotiations, well, I mean, whether they'd failed or not is actually moot. Experts suggest that sending his son-in-law and another real estate mogul to conduct incredibly delicate diplomatic talks with a regime like Iran's was probably not the best available option. Make of that what you will. And, of course, the Iranian position was that they were about to signal a major breakthrough. A week of pressure, according to the Washington Post, from Benjamin Netanyahu and the leader of Saudi Arabia as well, are being cited as things that turn Trump's head. So his negotiators came away, so it'd be Witkoff and Kushner, wouldn't it? His son-in-law and his sort of fellow New York property developer. Again, you must do this like I do this. You probably do it when I do it. Is that you say things out loud, and just until you said them out loud, they haven't resonated properly. His son-in-law and a fellow New York property developer conducting negotiations with the Iranian regime. Sorry, who again? Who now? And some of the expert testimony I've seen suggests that they didn't really know what the hell was going on. They didn't know what to believe, what not to believe, who to trust. And Trump's getting his reports back from them, the supremely unqualified people doing the job that would normally fall to men and women with decades of diplomatic expertise and experience. And then he's getting Bin Salman from Saudi in one ear and Netanyahu from Israel in the other, urging him to do what he's just done without any real thought for the consequences. Except, of course, the knowledge that he's got midterms coming up. He's got Epstein questions in danger of finally reaching critical mass, despite the best effort of the bought and paid for US media to help him avoid all scrutiny and continue with the lie that he's been completely exonerated. And he's got approval ratings that are in danger of disappearing through the floor. So he's just rolled dice, and killed children. It's always the children, isn't it, that the people in support of military action are keenest not to talk about. Did you know, for example, that it has recently been acknowledged by the Israeli regime that the figures provided by, and you have to say this, of course, by the Hamas-controlled health ministry in Gaza have now been accepted by Israel? All of the people who would say to you for most of the last couple of years, oh, well, yeah, but you can't take those figures seriously because they come from Hamas. They've gone very, very quiet, haven't they?
On your radio, on the LBC app, and...
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, the Foreign Secretary says all options are being explored to help British nationals stranded in the Middle East. 102,000 citizens have registered their presence in the region as part of government plans to potentially evacuate people if regional airspace remains closed due to the conflict in Iran. Vivek Cooper has told LBC that British citizens in the Middle East should contact the Foreign Office.
The advice is for people to shelter in place because of some of the drone strikes and others that have been taking place. We're providing people with updated information, sending rapid deployment teams out to the region to work with our embassies and consular staff, and also to work with the airlines, with the travel industry, and with those governments to seek to provide people with options.
The Foreign Secretary has also told LBC the UK's decision to allow the US to use military bases to attack Iranian missile sites is legal. But Yvette Cooper wouldn't say whether she believes that the US action is a breach of international law. Sir Keir Starmer explained his reasoning in a video released by Downing Street last night.
We have taken the decision to accept this request to prevent Iran firing missiles across the region, killing innocent civilians, putting British lives at risk. The basis of our decision is the collective self-defence of long-standing friends and allies.
People living close to RAF Akrotiri in Cyprus are being moved as a precaution following a suspected drone strike overnight. No injuries have been reported at the military base. Cypriot State Television is reporting that sirens have sounded again at the base in the past half hour. It's currently unclear why that alarm was raised. Authorities in Kuwait say several US warplanes have crashed near the country's border with Iraq. Officials say all crew members have survived and are stable in hospital. Investigations into why the jets crashed are now underway. And markets have been responding to the rising tensions in Iran, with oil prices spiking this morning. Christian May is from City AM and has told LBC the conflict could have economic consequences here.
What everybody is waiting for is to be able to determine how long this particular conflict is going to go on for. Is it going to lead to a spring and summer of instability? Because if it does, then this is the sort of thing that will be felt at the pump and discussed at the Bank of England. And it's an absolute headache for a government in this country trying to capitalise on stability and generate economic growth.
Stay with LBC for the latest throughout the day. In the city a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 94 at 10,816. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather: rain will move east across northern and western areas, dry, mild and sunny in the southeast, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
Need anything from Tesco?
Snacks and milk, love.
How about discounts on holidays abroad?
Don't forget fruit and veg for our school.
Free nappies for premature babies.
And the quiet hour in store to shop in peace.
Can I get £2.50 cinema tickets on Tuesdays?
We know you need more than just groceries from us. We do all this because every little helps.
Need anything from Tesco?
Oh, yeah, do you mind if I get some...
For further information, visit tescoplc.com/need-anything-from-tesco.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
Three minutes after 11, you are listening to James O'Brien on LBC. I think this is the right question to be asking, albeit that it's one that is only emerging this morning. Or late last night. So it's not one that most of your media would have been directing you towards because they still live by newspaper times and newspaper deadlines. So some of your newspapers are still full of condemnations of Keir Starmer for not doing more to help with the original unprovoked and almost certainly illegal attacks. And they will all be people that were pro-Iraq war. It's mad, isn't it? This inability ever to pause and reflect and to admit wrongness. Almost all of the problems that this country has and continues to face are caused by people refusing or failing to acknowledge that they got it wrong last time. You know that I like to talk about the four donkeys of the Krapopolips, the four events or individuals that have inflicted more damage upon these islands than anybody since the Luftwaffe. Boris Johnson, Liz Truss, Brexit and austerity. You find me someone who is in favour of Boris Johnson, Liz Truss, Brexit and austerity, who isn't also in favour of this illegal attack upon Iran, and probably also in favour of the genocide in Gaza undertaken by Benjamin Netanyahu and his allies. And I'll find you a very rare creature indeed. It is as if they all go hand in hand, these positions of, what would you call them? Sort of weapons-grade ignorance and idiocy, determination. It's our side, it's our two. We're on the side of illegal wars. Well, how did the last one work out for you? How in favour of Iraq were you on a scale of 1 to 10? Yeah, we definitely did the right thing. Well, no, I don't say that now. It's like Brexit. I just prefer not to talk about it. You know, it's time we moved on. Why are people still talking about the Iraq war? Why are people still talking about the referendum when, you know, it was a result? Just deal with it. Okay, things have gone appallingly badly, but it doesn't mean I was an idiot for telling you it was going to go brilliantly well, says about 80% of my profession in the context of Iraq and Brexit. And they're the same people saying, yeah, of course we should be on the side. So Kemi Badenoch not coming out without any understanding of international law whatsoever and claiming that Keir Starmer didn't join in an illegal attack upon Iran because he's frightened of upsetting Muslim voters. I spoke to a senior Tory who is a Muslim a few years ago, Saeed Avasi. I've checked. She said it on the record, so I can tell you. And she told me that particularly what was going on in her own party and what was going on in the country more broadly was making her, for the first time in her life, consider where she wanted to live. Now you have the leader of the Conservative Party. There are still Muslim Conservative MPs, aren't there? You now have the leader of the Conservative Party claiming that by dint of being a British Muslim, then you would be somehow on the side of the Ayatollah, as opposed to all of the people in the Middle East or all of the people of the Muslim faith who can be simultaneously opposed to the Ayatollah and opposed to illegal military action and opposed to war and opposed to genocide. You can hold several thoughts in your head. Well, not if you're Kemi Badenoch, obviously, but for the rest of us, we can hold several thoughts in our head at the same time. And the thought today, or the two key thoughts in the first part of today's programme, before we get on to specific Iranian responses to what has gone on, perhaps, or Iranian expat immigrant perspectives on what has gone on. I fell into the trap there, didn't I? I said expat. It's also the word being used to describe all the people who moved to Dubai to avoid paying taxes in this country, who are now calling upon the British taxpayer to pay to get them out of Dubai and bring them home. I have nothing but sympathy for anybody caught up in this hellscape. But if you've been using your Dubai apartment to post nonsense on social media about how unsafe London is, well, I was about to say, I imagine you're having a bit of a think about things this morning, but of course they're not. They're not having a bit of a think about these fighting age people living in Dubai now effectively being turned into refugees as they call upon the British taxpayer, who they've sought to avoid, to get them back to Britain, and they won't be reflecting at all upon why on earth they spent their time claiming that our capital city wasn't safe while they're now staring down the barrel of a loaded Iranian missile launcher. Idiots. But they will be mostly people who were also in favour of Brexit. Boris Johnson, Liz Truss. They're a very Brexity bunch, a lot of these expats. Sorry, immigrants who've moved. These fighting-age men and women who've moved to Dubai to avoid paying British taxes. Irony, eh? But these people are not capable of reflection. They're certainly not capable of reversal or retreat. So they'll just carry on shouting from the rooftops. We have to be better than this. We have to be better than this. And even if the rest of the world continues in their ludicrous, binary, entirely inappropriate tribal nonsenses, like Kemi Badenoch claiming that British Muslims are political loyalties are swayed by conflicts in the Middle East, not the British national interest. How can it be in the British national interest to join another illegal war? Did you learn nothing from the last one? Answer, no, you didn't learn anything from the last one. But we have to be better than this. You have to be cognizant of facts. And the facts include two things can be true at the same time. Not supporting the illegal attack upon Iran. Correct. Supporting responses to Iran's attacks upon our base, our allies and ourselves. Also correct. I don't think it's complicated, but I fully accept that I might be. Not in a lonely corner of this conversation, but certainly in one that you hadn't properly established the existence of before you started listening to this programme this morning. Paula is in Gainsborough. Paula, what would you like to say?
Oh, good morning, James. Sorry, hello. I'm suddenly very nervous now. I'm actually going to speak to you.
It's only me.
I've been listening to you for a long time.
It's only me.
It's only you. I've never wanted to call in before, but I do feel really passionately that Starmer's doing actually the only things he can do.
Yeah.
I think as a Labour Prime Minister, he'd have to be really sensitive to being involved in an attack in the Middle East post-Iraq and how people feel about that still. I live in Lincolnshire. It's a very RAF-heavy county.
Indeed it is.
We've got bases everywhere. In fact, I'm going to work shortly. I run a support group for people who are socially isolated, and among them are former RAF staff who are experiencing PTSD.
Nice.
So, it wouldn't be an easy call for a Labour Prime Minister to make.
No, I don't think it would.
No, and also the American government, let's be honest, they're not the best allies in the world because they kind of say, look, you're with us or you're against us. There's no middle ground with them. So I don't think Starmer.
And that's in normal times. That's when you haven't got a sort of superannuated psychopathic toddler in charge of things. It's only about last month, was it, that he claimed we hadn't done anything in Afghanistan? We hadn't played a meaningful role. Insulted our war dead. He literally insulted our war dead in regards to Afghanistan. So if it's true at the best of times that America can be an unreliable ally, it's truer than ever now.
Yeah, and I'm going to sit later today with people who were in Afghanistan and are still suffering as a consequence of it. Amongst ourselves, we call him the Tangerine Tantrum. We don't like him, but he is the duly elected American president. He's made a decision to do something. Whatever conversations may have had between Downing Street and Washington or wherever it was decided, they probably had to say, look, we can't join you. We've got our own public to manage. We can't do this. But we will be there with you for the defensive stuff. I think they've had to be tactical here. And when you're dealing with someone that's gonna bomb a region anyway, no matter what you do or say, and isn't cognitive of all the nuances, like, you know, the Ayatollah being a very sick man who's probably likely to die soon anyway, therefore why offer him martyrdom?
Yeah.
I don't think any of that was factored in. I think they just did it. And I honestly... I can't believe I'm saying this because it's never occurred to me before, but I feel quite sorry for Keir Starmer today.
Yeah,
because
I understand
I think
why.
He was in a vice. I don't think he could... He couldn't. He's not going to be right, whatever he does. But as a prime minister of this country, we expect him to protect our military personnel and all the expats and holidaymakers that are in that region. We expect him to do it, and we expect him to stand with our allies if they come under attack. which, of course, now Iran has reciprocated. Now our allies are coming under attack.
It's a different scenario. And if you felt sorry for him before, Paula, you're going to feel sorrier for him now, because Donald Trump has just given an interview to the Daily Telegraph in which he's attacked Keir Starmer for taking too long to change its mind and allow the US British bases to use British bases to target Iran. And here's a line that everything with Trump, the fact that he gave that speech and indeed these orders from his holiday resort in Florida is just extraordinary. You go to the war room, don't you? Go to the situation. The least you can do is do your job in your office when you're sending people to die on foreign soil, but not if you're Donald Trump. But this line here, he's told the Telegraph, it sounds like he was worried about the legality. Oh, perish the thought that a world leader should be worried about the actual legality of, for example, and I know you'll be aware of this, but some people perhaps won't be, bombing a girls' school in southern Iran. 165 dead already, according to state media. He was worried about the as if that's a bad thing. And Trump's talking to his audience there. He's probably talking to Kemi Badenoch. Oh, look at Keir Starmer, worried about legality, when we should just wade in there and kill as many people as possible without any thought for the consequences. So, yeah, I understand why you feel sorry for him.
I do, because a president who's, kind of got a loudspeaker to his MAGA base, who I would imagine, they're more kind of, let's not have bureaucrats, let's talk, more action. I get that that's how they view things, but in the Middle East, there are so many nuances. There are so many different ways this could play out, that just a little bit more caution was probably the better option. Unfortunately, that horse is bolted now. Yeah. We have to deal with, I'm a pragmatic woman, we have to deal with the reality in front of us, not what we wish we had. We now have a bit of a mess. Our Prime Minister is doing the only things he can do while signalling to everyone, because he can't publicly come out and criticise Trump. Not at this moment.
But they can do it. They can do it in terms, can't they? They can say things like, the UK is not at war with Iran. You can send the Secretary of State for Defence to appear on Sunday morning television and not answer the question of whether or not this is legal or illegal. Whereas, of course, the obvious answer would be to say that it was legal. To duck that question repeatedly, as John Healey did, leaves the door wide open for the conclusion that the UK government thinks that it is illegal.
It does, and I think they're signalling, as you say, because I don't think they can actually say it outright. Not at this moment in time, perhaps in a few days' time. I have no idea. I'm not part of a government, never have been. I have no idea what's going on behind the scenes, what discussions are being made about, which bases things can be launched from, so on and so forth. There might be some very delicate stuff going on, and if they come out publicly and say, actually, we think this is a wrong one, they might jeopardise something else. Well, they're over more barrels than I realise, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were.
Do you know, this is from Bob while you were talking. He said, James, why is it that the callers who describe themselves as nervous are invariably the most thoughtful callers you get?
Oh.
And he's got a point, actually. As Bob, the official version of events, such as it is that Britain had denied the US permission to conduct strikes from bases such as Diego Garcia and RAF Fairford, citing international law. And then on Sunday night, as you have said, when the situation has changed, he said in a statement that we'll listen to again shortly, that he would allow the US access to Diego Garcia for specific and limited defensive purposes. So it's the difference between attacking a country without justification in law and attacking a country that's attacking our allies or our positions. And I put it like that, boil it right down. I don't want to oversimplify things, but it, at the very least, as you've highlighted, Paula, it's an obviously very different question that he's answering, both before and after the original, probably illegal attack upon Iran, and some people are determined not to see that. They just don't want to, whether they're saying he's done too little too late, they're ignoring that he's done a completely different thing from the thing they wanted him to do first. And when the other people in the other camp at the other extreme, and this is why you feel sorry for him, because he's going to get it from both sides, saying he shouldn't even have done this, then you would be sitting idly by while not only your allies and your own people potentially came under attack, but France and Germany, your closest allies in this kind of context, have both pledged support for defensive actions. What else could he have done?
Nothing. I honestly think that because this has all gone off, it's happening. Everybody now has to just fall into line, sadly, and at least be doing defensive things, even though they didn't want to be in this position in the first place. We are dealing with, you know, the biggest military in the world that's decided to take action. We might not like it, we might not agree with it, but it's already happening now. The best that ourselves and our European allies can do is defend as much as we can, protect our people where we can.
What you're doing.
See where the chips fall, which I don't like.
No, you don't have to like it. That's the point, isn't it? But what you're doing quite brilliantly, you're highlighting the difference between... And I understand why some people can't come with you or me on this journey, but the idea that you're getting into bed with Trump on another illegal war versus the idea that you are simply showing allyship with allies in the Middle East and maximizing protection of our own bases. But you can't really separate the two. You and I can separate it intellectually or emotionally, but we're still watching the Prime Minister get into bed with Trump's activities in the Middle East, if not all of them, then some of them.
Yeah.
And that is what many people are going to struggle to do. I think wrongly, but, you know, who knows where we'll be in a month's time or 6 months' time or 9 months' time, which is roughly the time scale between Benjamin Netanyahu claiming that he'd secured a massive victory that would be relevant for generations the last time they attacked Iran. And then fast forward to this weekend when apparently it was such an unsuccessful attack, the last one, that they had to do it all over again. 20 past 11 is the time. 0345 60 60 973 is the number that you need to add to this conversation. 19 minutes after 11 is the time.
This is LBC.
Hi, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg. Flared, straight or skinny?
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. As a landlord, you will need to get on top of these important changes. They will affect how you manage your tenancies. Act now. Read the guidance at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
Jay here knows that Zoopla can provide valuations for any home in the UK, so we can see what that new couple across the road might have paid.
Ooh la la.
Have a nose at what the curtain twitchers next door could sell for. And even see what his own place is worth.
Cool, look at that.
Plus, Zoopla lets you find and compare local estate agents if you do decide to sell up. Think of all those new neighbours you'll be able to snoop on, Jay. If you want to know, just ask Zoopla.
At AJ Bell, we believe every customer deserves brilliant service, which is just one reason we're rated excellent on Trustpilot. And we all trust pilots, with their smooth, captainy voices that make you feel like you'd let them land anywhere they like. Sorry, where was I? Right, AJ Bell, rated excellent by sexy pilots. I mean Trustpilot. I'm a flight risk. AJ Bell, feel good investing. The value of your investments can go up or down.
James O'Brien on LBC. Listen on your smart speaker. Just say, play LBC.
It is 21 minutes after 11. Quite a few of you picking up on that point. And I have to remind myself that you are not listening to the programme from the very start right through to the bitter end. You come and go, you stay, you zone in, you zone out. You've probably got better things to do. God forbid, can't imagine what. But the point that I think is at the centre of any contemplations of the current situation is that claim last June by Benjamin Netanyahu that they had scored a, quote, historic victory which will stand for generations after a 12-day war on Iran. Less than a year later, he's doing it again, and nobody really seems to be pointing out that those two things can't really sit alongside each other with honesty, can they, or transparency. Either he was lying then or he's lying now. And then you add to that the reports that the Israeli Prime Minister and the Saudi Crown Prince have been urging this activity, this action on Trump, for the best part of a week. And you factor in that the people he sent to conduct potentially crucial negotiations with the Iranian regime were his son-in-law, who's a sort of glorified landlord, a property developer, and another friend from his days as a property developer. They're the men that were sent to handle this thing. I mean, it's a bit like sending Mr. Blobby to cut the wires on a bomb to defuse a bomb or sending, I don't know, Homer Simpson to conduct incredibly... This idea that because you've made an awful lot of money in property development, you must be possessed of a unique set of skills, or you must somehow be possessed of skills that can be translated into other areas, to the exclusion of experience and expertise. I mean, I told you it was Brexity, but that's the definition of Brexit in many ways. Let's ignore the people who know what they're talking about and just let the people with the loudest voices and the most ill-founded confidence take charge of everything. So the property developers, the glorified landlords that he sends to conduct nuclear negotiations with the Iranian regime, a hideous regime, make no mistake, but one which would, through self-protection and self-preservation, have been sitting around that table in the hope of finding some sort of off-ramp for what subsequently occurred, is idiocy for the ages. But how much of what we talk about on the programme every day will go down, once things have finally returned to some semblance of normality, will go down as idiocy for the ages. 24 minutes after 11 is the time. What else could Starmer have done? We'll probably move on to some other questions shortly, but I don't know that anyone yet has told me, honestly, what would have happened if he hadn't done this. So we know what would have happened if he hadn't given permission for the US to use Diego Garcia and RAF Fairford on the original, probably illegal attack upon Iran, because we saw it happen. They did it without us. Last night, he said he would allow the US, and I'm just going to play you that again, actually, that because, again, you may not have been listening since the beginning. He said he would allow, but in a very specific and limited way. You don't have worries about breaching international law if you are attacking missile installations that have been used to attack others. It's a completely different proposition from launching an unprovoked, militarily unprovoked attack upon Iran. So they will be confident that the law is on their side on this occasion, even as they stress that they are not at war with Iran or they are not in lockstep with everything else that has gone on. I just worry that, you know, people want their wars in black and white, don't they? People don't want to say, well, that was justified, but that wasn't justified. People just want to cheer or boo. And that's true across the political spectrum, I'm afraid. There are plenty of people who want to cheer the bloodshed in the Middle East, as long as it's only Arabs getting murdered, will be condemning Keir Starmer for the failure to support the original illegal attack, and not praising him for this, not seeing the difference, and plenty of people who will always boo Western interventions in matters Middle Eastern will be attacking Keir Starmer from the other end of the pitch. They will be attacking him for moving, for changing when the facts changed. So the man can't win, which doesn't mean he's wrong. And on this occasion, I don't think he is. Have a little listen to a small part of his speech yourself, because I do think it works as a corrective to much of the coverage.
The United States has requested permission to use British bases for that specific and limited defensive purpose. We have taken the decision to accept this request to prevent Iran firing missiles across the region, killing innocent civilians, putting British lives at risk, and hitting countries that have not been involved.
So I don't know how you can argue with that, actually. Well, I do, because you are. I don't know how you can argue with that. And that's what I'd like you to do, if you want to, is tell me what would happen in the event of Starmer not having done what he has done. As missiles fly into Jordan, into Dubai, into other allies in the area, as missiles or a drone makes its way across continents towards the RAF base on Cyprus, and the UK Prime Minister is portrayed as not only not doing anything about it, but also as refusing to help our other allies do something about it. A weird one, a little illustration of my own ignorance there, where I threw the word Arabs casually into a conversation about Iranians, which is, of course, inaccurate. description. 27 minutes after 11, and it is two Iranians that we'll probably turn shortly for specific perspectives on what's going on and potentially answers to that question famously posed by General David Petraeus in the early days of Gulf War II. Is how does it end? How does this end? Before that, though, Sam is in Bromsgrove in Worcestershire. Sam, what would you like to say?
Hiya, how are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I've got family and friends in every single country except Kuwait that has been impacted by this.
Really?
And yes, my brother's in Qatar. Well, yeah, my brother's in Qatar. I've got cousins in Bahrain. I've got my in-laws are in Lebanon. My brother-in-law lives in the Fairmont Hotel, Fairmont Apartments in Dubai.
Oh, Lord, is he all right?
He's all right.
That's the one that got hit, for people wondering why you've mentioned
it. Yes, that's the one that's got hit. I go there every Christmas, actually. We stay with them. So I've got friends and family hugely invested. I lived in Dubai for 8 years. I don't agree with you that British people didn't send their money back home, because we did, and all of my friends did,
I'm just pointing out a lot of people who've moved there are literally quite explicit about the fact that they've done so to avoid paying tax back in the UK.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean that I was maligning you or your family, but that's what most of the recent departures from this country, they've done it for two reasons. They lie about London not being safe, and they don't want to pay tax because they don't think that they benefit from taxes, until of course someone starts firing missiles at them.
Yeah, no, I was always wanting to come back.
Sure.
So very well, very, very, very much invested, and I can tell you, people like me who are in the UK, who do have family and friends, say actually Britain needs to stay out of this.
Right.
And I would my journey started in the Middle East after university. I moved to Jordan and I worked in the Hyatt Hotel, which was bombed by a terrorist attack after the Iraq War.
Yes.
And no sooner did one bomb land in Iraq did all the hotels become full of oil companies. So we all knew.
what
that was about. And here we are again. This is Israel's war, and it's not British, Britain's war. It's Israel's war. And on the 17th of February, Naftali Bennett, I think that's his name, he started talking about bombing Turkey. So,
I'm not across that. Forgive me. I'm not across that. But it was Israel's war in conjunction with Donald Trump, who probably wouldn't be doing this if the Epstein files weren't continuing to cause such... To garner such coverage at home and abroad, but it ceases to be Israel's war or Israel and America's war when Iran responds by attacking the positions that you've already described. But then we have a duty surely to minimise those responses. No.
So obviously we don't want any civilians to be hit, whether in Dubai or in Iran. Thank you for mentioning that school. It broke my heart.
Of course.
To see children. I mean, what have they done in this world to deserve that? What have they done? So obviously, I'm watching some Arabic media. Our understanding, some of the media is saying that the American bases are being used, and people probably didn't know this, that Jordan has American bases, Dubai has American bases, Abu Dhabi, if you think about it, it's very, very strange that all these countries are allowing America to kind of control some kind of the military in their country. It is an odd situation to have that every one of those countries has American bases. So American bases are being targeted because the American bases are being used to target Iran. So what are they? And obviously they're an easier target because Israel's got very strong defense system. The Iron Dome is a very strong defense system. So, of course, if you're going to be sending missiles from a target in Dubai, then
you're making a distinction between an American base and an ally of the UK. And if the American base is on the soil of our ally, then it's an attack upon our ally. Even though it is simultaneously an attack upon America or an American base, when Starmer has successfully disassociated himself from America and Israel's probably illegal attack upon Iran, I don't think you have that luxury of saying He's not attacking our ally. He's attacking an American base. When the American base, and God forbid there be any collateral damage, is on ally territory. And that's without even bringing the RAF base in Cyprus into the conversation, which has already, we believe, been targeted.
Yes, I mean, that obviously needs a response.
And that's what British, he's done. That's what he's
that
done.
That is definitely a British problem. But I just feel that why are they letting them use their country? You know, why are they letting them use it? Israel's very close. Well, Israel's there.
Because they want
to. Why are they letting them?
Because they want to. They're sovereign territories, and they would claim, if you had the luxury of chatting to the King of Jordan about it, or other Middle Eastern
leaders.
I really like the King of Jordan.
I don't think they're using the base. What's happened in Jordan is very different, because in Jordan you have the missiles going to Israel, and they're shooting them down before they get to Israel.
Yeah, of course.
So there is some.
Although there have been deaths and casualties in Israel as well, so no system is completely foolproof. But Israel's is probably the best in the world.
No, but there are people in Jordan saying, "Why are you shooting them down and putting our life at risk as Jordanians? Aren't we number one too?"
As the things fall
out
of the sky,
obviously something a problem there as well. You know, because of the debris that's coming out of the sky in Jordan.
But doing nothing is not an option. Doing nothing is not. I think to answer, I don't know whether you were being rhetorical a moment ago, but a large reason presumably for US military presence in the Middle East is to, well, they would say to sustain stability. God, I'm so late for the news. How dare you make me so late for the news, Sam? I can't believe it. You've got me so engaged in this conversation, but also to protect the oil industry. We'll talk again, because given that extraordinary backstory that you shared, I want to know how you ended up in Bromsgrove, just up the road from where I grew up. But I haven't got time to ask you now. Simon Mark's on the way shortly. Time now for the very latest headlines with Dominic Ellis.
President Trump says he's very disappointed in Sir Keir Starmer for initially blocking the United States from using British military sites to target Iran. America now has access to two, but in an interview, Donald Trump has said it took far too long for the Prime Minister to change his mind. Sir Keir Starmer says the government changed its stance as it later became a defensive request. Sir Keir has stressed that the UK is not involved in the American offensive action in Iran, now into its third day. Authorities in Kuwait say several American warplanes have crashed near a US airbase in the country. Officials say all crew members have survived and are stable in hospital. People living close to RAF Akrotiri in Cyprus are being moved as a precaution following a suspected drone strike overnight. No injuries have been reported at the military base, which is used for operations in the Middle East. And the Foreign Secretary, Yvette Cooper, has told LBC that all options are being explored to help British nationals stranded in the Middle East. 102,000 citizens have registered their presence in the region with the Foreign Office as part of government plans to potentially evacuate people if regional airspace remains closed due to the conflict. LBC weather, rain moving east across northern and western areas, dry, mild and very sunny in the southeast, a high of 15 degrees.
This is LBC.
Whether your dreams involve epic adventure, trying something you've never done before, or just some time to fully relax, you can bank on Lloyds to help make it happen. We've been asking listeners what their aspirations are for the year ahead to help create the ultimate prize packages to inspire that first step. Enter now for your chance to win one of three incredible experiences, thanks to Lloyds and the nation's aspirations. Choose the prize for you at lbc.co.uk.
Trains at Chichester. Flasks filled, snacks packed, all ready for Maisie's first stargazing adventure.
Come on, Maisie. Follow everyone up to the top of that hill.
Oh, look. That one's the plough.
Shooting star. Oh, wow.
Oh, made it. Last train back and feeling cosmic. And it seems we have an astronaut in the making. Download the Southern Railway app to book kids' tickets for £2 on off-peak journeys. Southern Railway, where every stop is a story.
When the business hustle is on, when the boardroom drama hots up, when sales pitches really deliver results, or don't. All that, and they made £3.
£3 and 13 pence.
Oh, yeah, that'll save them.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And the TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels so you can keep up with all the latest boardroom battles. Search TV licence together.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK,
what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 60 60973.
11:38 is the time. This may seem a little inappropriate, but I think I'm going to have to go down to the cellar and bring up something that we haven't used on the programme for ages. I was not expecting this to happen on a day as potentially portentous as this one.
Woke Watch.
Good Lord, Woke Watch is bad. Just blow the dust off the top. Sorry. Donald Trump has described the Diego Garcia deal that the UK government was essentially compelled to conduct as a consequence of a variety of issues, most obviously international law, but also with a side order of Brexit. Donald Trump has described that deal as, and I quote, a very woke thing. I mean, people still using that word. Obviously, it has become a word that very right-wing people use as a pejorative or a negative when they can't actually give you any real reasons why something is bad. So you just call it woke. And you'll have people like Dick Littlejohn at the Daily Mail cheering, like, yeah, it's woke. What is wrong with it? Don't know. It's woke. Down with woke. It became originally, I suppose, a tactic with which you could oppose people who were opposed to racism. So if you were anti-racist, then the way to be anti-racist was to call those people, well, look at them, all woke over there complaining about people who are racist. So woke just became a synonym, really, for not racist. And then it expanded into all the areas that the far right can't win arguments on, except, of course, by shouting down whoever it is they're arguing with. So why is the Diego Garcia so bad, Mr. President? Well, it's woke. Honestly, the greatest minds. It's a woke deal. That's why it's bad. And people will now use this. I mean, I'll start the clock. See who the first Daily Mail columnist is to describe it as woke. Probably Dick Littlejohn. Could be some of the others. And remember, he's the man that wants the United Kingdom to be governed by Donald Trump instead of Keir Starmer, and who bases his views of the United Kingdom, when he's not writing his columns from Florida, on 25-year-old episodes of The Bill, as I explained to you on Friday. You'll have to rewind radio or download the podcast to find out what on earth I'm talking about now, because I can't explain it again. But there it is, the return of Woke Watch, because Donald Trump has elected to describe the Diego Garcia deal as woke.
Woke Watch.
Oh, boy. And there's the thing, you see. This is why our earlier caller described or articulated sympathy for Keir Starmer. It's a tricky one, I grant you. But he has now come under attack from Donald Trump, even as people who I am loosely going to describe as being of the left will be attacking him for sucking up to Donald Trump. There's a symmetry here that's, I mean, in other circumstances, it would be delicious, wouldn't it? But there's nothing delicious about war. But Keir Starmer has correctly and successfully disassociated himself from the original act of almost certainly illegal war, while recognising the necessity of defending UK interests and allies from Iran's response to that reckless and probably illegal war. They're two completely different things. So Keir Starmer can now be getting it in the neck from Donald Trump for not being sufficiently supportive of his latest depravities, and be getting it in the neck from domestic critics for being too supportive of Donald Trump's latest depravities. He is getting it for not being supportive enough and for being too supportive. Now, whether or not this is more evidence that he's not very good at politics, I don't know. But it is the correct diplomatic course to have pursued. Could he have addressed it more directly in his speech? Could he have pointed out what we've spent 90 minutes pointing out on this programme? I don't know. Maybe. But if you need an illustration of how hard it is and how dangerous the people who pretend that it's not hard are, You'll struggle to find a better one than this. You'll struggle to find a better one than this. Keir Starmer getting it in the neck for Donald Trump for not being sufficiently supine. Getting it in the neck from domestic critics for being too supine. And then Kemi Badenoch, bless her, coming out and attacking Keir Starmer for not breaking international law this weekend. Have a little listen to this. I think it's interesting. From the UN nuclear watchdog chief. That's the IAEA, I think. I turn into old MacDonald when I start trying to remember the initials of the International Atomic Energy Authority, IAEA. Here it is, the idea that which I think we found evidence of, Netanyahu and his cronies claiming for the best part of three decades that Iran was about 10 minutes away from developing a nuclear bomb. Again, why would you listen to the experts? Why would you listen to the people with expertise and experience when you can just send your son-in-law into battle on your behalf? But here is Rafael Grossi, the UN's nuclear watchdog chief.
This is my evaluation. It's an evaluation that is based on the fact that Iran has a very big, ambitious nuclear program, that we do not have the accesses that we should have. At the same time, I said it last year, before the June 12-day war, we don't see a structured program to manufacture nuclear weapons. So that is the assessment of the agency. Then, of course, countries have either other information or political considerations, which are not for me to validate, as I said, or invalidate.
So there it is. I mean, not only did they lie essentially about the capabilities of Iran in the first place, they then lied about having destroyed them. That was just June of last year. I kid you not, you'd think that this was parody, wouldn't you, when Benjamin Netanyahu declared a historic victory which will stand for generations, and then less than a year later they're back to, because they hadn't actually removed the threat that didn't exist, so they have to go back now and remove the threat that still, according to the head of the IAEA, the UN's nuclear watchdog, the threat that still doesn't exist. Well, I suppose every glimmer of good news in the current landscape is to be welcomed. Simon Marks, after this.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast on LBC.
Prime Minister Keir Starmer stands accused of refusing now to condemn the airstrikes on Iran. Is this another U-turn?
Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper joining us here on LBC.
When was United Kingdom informed of the joint US-Israel airstrike on the Ayatollah's compound on Saturday?
We didn't know about that until after it happened, but you'll
what
appreciate...
What does that say about our special relationship?
You'll appreciate I'm not going to get into a detailed operational commentary.
The United Kingdom supports the way in which the Ayatollah was killed.
I don't think anyone would mourn what has happened, but it is not something that we were involved in.
Nick Ferrari at breakfast. Back tomorrow morning from 7. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
Hi, I'm Sava, founder of Cool You. And when it comes to getting aircon into London's hot and stuffy apartments and listed buildings, I'm the daddy. For years, Cool You have supplied and installed fully internal aircon systems with no mess, no fuss, and no external condensers. So head to coolyou.london today. Cool You, for a cool, comfortable home.
This year at Amazon, we're increasing the electric vehicles used for deliveries across Europe to over 10,000. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where babies are made a fuss of, where we deliver footballs for kids' kickabouts, and where they deliver the football straight into next door's garden. Can they have their ball back, please? We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on projected delivery service partner vehicles across the UK and EU by end of 2026.
Calling all young creatives. It's time to get prepped for the future you want. And where better than Global Academy? Here's Imad, a GCSE student in year 11.
Alongside my core GCSEs, such as maths, English and science, I study creative subjects such as media, drama, art and design, business and music technology, which are all recognised by the industry.
Global Academy. Apply now and join us in years 10 or 12. GlobalAcademy.com.
You know, Kayak isn't just another flight comparison app. When you download the Kayak app, you download flight enlightenment. With Kayak, you see things others can't, like the latest great deals from both airlines and booking sites. You can filter your searches and set up price alerts so you... Not now.
Oh, sorry.
So you're notified when there's a price drop on the flights you want. See more, do more, save more with Kayak. You can do the gong now. Download the Kayak app today and go see for yourself.
When laughter's guaranteed. When there's fun and games with big names. When it's something everyone in the family loves watching.
Who do you think the surprise guest is?
No way you'll top last week's.
I think they have.
Nothing brings us together like great TV. And the TV licence covers you to watch all TV channels, packed full of entertainment for a big night in. Search TV licence together.
Leading Britain's conversation, LBC, with James O'Brien.
It is 11:48 and, well, it is our duty, really, on days like this to try to wade through the misinformation and propaganda, the tribalism and the binary nature of much commentary and coverage, never more so than when you have a man as ridiculous and hideous as Donald Trump in the White House. And it is to the United States that we turn next with that in mind. Simon Marks, our US editor, is there. I mean, start wherever you want, Simon. I suppose we should begin with the appetite among the American people for what Donald Trump has done over the weekend.
Well, I think we should be absolutely clear, James. Donald Trump has not prepared the American public for this war in any way. I mean, they only saw him twice over the weekend, and they had to be up at 2:30 in the morning on Saturday if they wanted to see him the first time, or find it suddenly when they woke up on Saturday morning to be rather surprised by the fact that the country was going to war in conjunction with Israel against Iran. So in that first overnight message, Donald Trump talked about major combat operations being underway against Iran, made completely contradictory remarks instructing the Iranian people on the one hand to rise up and take power into their own hands, and the time for action is now, except of course he then told them that the time for action was not now, because he told them they needed to stay indoors because it was too dangerous to go outside because bombs were raining down on them. Then we didn't see anything of him until last night when he was departing Mar-a-Lago and heading back to Washington, D.C. He did engage in a handful of individual telephone conversations with hand-picked reporters here in Washington during the course of the day, in which again he offered completely contradictory storylines regarding the purpose, duration, intent of this war, and gave no indication that he's got any plan for the day after. I mean, he didn't even have a plan for the day of, much less the day after. But then last night, before he left Mar-a-Lago, he did appear on camera in a pre-recorded series of comments, and first of all broke the news to the American people that they had already heard from U.S. Central Command that the first American fatalities had taken place in the theater. Let's listen to that.
Earlier today, CENTCOM shared the news that three U.S. military service members have been killed in action. As one nation, we grieve for the true American patriots who have made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation.
Then he told the American people that while he can't say how long this war is going to last, and in comments to a reporter he said it might go on for a month or longer, they need to brace themselves for more American fatalities.
Sadly, there will likely be more. Before it ends, that's the way it is. Likely be more, but we'll do everything possible where that won't be the case.
That's the way it is. Wow. And the president went on to insist that his war in Iran is right and justified.
These actions are right and they are necessary to ensure that Americans will never have to face a radical, bloodthirsty terrorist regime armed with nuclear weapons and lots of threats.
And that was it in terms of comments last night. He arrived back at the White House, walked into the building, didn't say anything to reporters. As we now know, he's given that Unbelievable interview. I mean, except it's not unbelievable. We should be pricing all of this in now to the Daily Telegraph, once again flaying the Prime Minister, flaying the UK, even as British service personnel are putting their lives on the line for his war of choice in Iran. But he is facing incoming here in the United States, and it's coming, James, from his own core MAGA supporters, America First adherents, who are overwhelmingly telling him that they not only have no appetite for this war, but they believe that this is a U-turn, a massive U-turn by an American president they elected to disentangle America's military from forever wars and far-off entanglements in the Middle East about which the American public know very little. But this is a president who's just done nothing to condition the environment here to support this. And now we're seeing, I think, three U.S. fighter jets that may have been brought down in Kuwait by friendly fire. There's no evidence here that the American public has the appetite for any of this, much less for a conflict that could last for a month.
So here's the $64,000 question then. Why do you think he's done it?
Well, I mean, as you and I have discussed, within the last week and weeks prior to that, this is a man in need of distraction, in urgent need of distraction. I mean, he's got fresh questions about the Epstein files besieging the White House. He's got the Supreme Court incinerating the tariffs that lie as the key pillar, not just of his trade, but also of his foreign and national security policies. Mm-hmm. He's got record low numbers in the approval ratings, and he's got an Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman of Saudi Arabia saying, come on, mate, we've got to do this, let's give it a go. And it may well be that the Israelis outplayed him by launching the first airstrike and essentially forcing his hand. I mean, if you listen to what Omani negotiators who had been shuttling between the US and Iranian delegations in Geneva up until only Thursday of last week say, they indicate that the Iranians had given significant ground and that the a possible compromise existed for negotiators, as they said they were doing, to take back to their respective capitals over the weekend to try and advance. But then whether it was the Israelis simply saying, right, we're going in right now and we're killing the supreme leader because we've got the opportunity, Donald Trump being cajoled into joining that or enthusiastically joining it, seeing that he had an opportunity here to play geopolitical 52 card pickup and hope without any kind of a plan that maybe the brute force of the American military and the Israeli militaries might deliver him a better situation that he's been in previously in Iran. I mean, I think it's for all of those many reasons that he decided to give this a go.
What then would, given, as you've established, that the justification for it is, at the very least, paper thin, the support for it is almost non-existent, what would success look like from his point of view?
Well, I think it's also important to underscore, James, that the legality in America is skating on the thinnest possible ice. There is a law. It was enacted in 1981 by President Ronald Reagan that says American elected officials must not engage in the assassination of foreign heads of state or other foreign government officials. And there's no way of looking at what happened on Saturday in Iran and saying that the United States wasn't either directly involved or clearly playing a significant supporting role in orchestrating the assassination of the supreme leader, for whom, of course, we in the West have absolutely no sympathy, given his track record of brutality inside Iran and Iran's track record of terrorism and nefarious acts on the world stage as well. But on the face of it, that action clearly was a breach of American law, and there's no justification that the Americans are putting forward for any of this under international law, in the same way as they ran roughshod over international law with the attack on Venezuela back in January. What does success look for him? For him, I mean, in his description, a Pollyanna world in which the Iranian people the families of demonstrators whose loved ones were cut down in their tens of thousands by Iran's Revolutionary Guard only within the last few weeks. Those people go out onto the streets, put flowers into the rifles of the Revolutionary Guards, engage in a chorus of Kumbaya and say, let's all get together. Us, the security forces, the Revolutionary Guard, the army, will get together and will form a new government. I mean, that's the plan. And it's clearly not workable.
I feel like Donald Rumsfeld contemplating known unknowns and unknown unknowns and known knowns. But, I mean, that question, as you will know, General David Petraeus posed it back in 2003 in Baghdad. Tell me how this ends. I'm going to play you a clip. Actually, I'm going to play you two. The first one you will be very familiar with, but I presume, and you can tell me afterwards, that this is going to be what's troubling the base.
Our president will start a war with Iran because he has absolutely no ability to negotiate. He's weak and he's ineffective. So the only way he figures that he's going to get reelected, and as sure as you're sitting there, is to start a war with Iran.
I mean, talk about projection. But more interestingly, Lindsey Graham, the South Carolina senator, who is one of the most, enthusiastic cheerleaders of Donald Trump, was asked a really important... I know you'll have heard this, but my listeners haven't heard it yet.
Moving forward, in a social media post Sunday, President Trump wrote this, quote, hopefully the IRGC and police will peacefully merge with the Iranian patriots and work together as a unit to bring back the country to the greatness it deserves. Yep. Is hope the plan for the future of Iran?
No, the future of Iran is going to be determined by the Iranian people. The new Iran, whatever it is, whether it's a cleric or a representative democracy, our goal is to make sure it cannot become, again, the largest state sponsor of terrorism. That's a win for us.
But is there a plan to make sure that happens, Senator? Is there a plan? Does the president have a plan to guarantee that that happens?
No, it's not his job or my job to do this. How many times do I have to tell you? Our job is to make sure Iran is no longer the largest state sponsor of terrorism, to help the people reconstruct a new government, no boots on the ground. We don't own, you know this idea, you break it, you own it? I don't buy that one bit. It's in America's interest to make sure the Ayatollah is dead. He's dead.
Whose job is it to have a plan?
I mean, what he's saying there is our job is to scream fire in a crowded theater.
Yeah.
And it's up to the theater goers and the actors and maybe a little bit of theater management then to figure out what to do about it. But we've done our job. We've screamed fire in a crowded theater. And now we'll see where everything ends up. I mean, Lindsey Graham is increasingly a pastiche of himself. But no sense of history. That reference to you break it, you own it, which, of course, is a rule that existed in a popular home furnishings shop here in the United States that was cited by Colin Powell when George W. Bush was considering invading Iraq in 2003. It was an admonition to President George W. Bush. You've got to remember, you break it, you own it. That's not an option. I mean, that is an inviolable rule here that they're completely disregarding. In the same way, by the way, as the president in that interview with The Telegraph, when he says on Starmer's refusal to allow British bases to be used for strikes against Iran, he says, that's probably never happened between our countries before. It sounds like he was worried about the legality. Well, do you remember when Barack Obama was thinking of going to war in Syria and the British Parliament didn't back it, and that then forced Barack Obama to abandon his plans to go to war against Bashar al-Assad in Syria. They have no sense of historical memory whatsoever, nor an understanding, in the case of the president, about the legal complexities here. The British government was reportedly pulling intelligence sharing because it was so concerned about Donald Trump's extrajudicial maritime campaign of bringing death and destruction to people that he claimed without providing any proof were Venezuelan drug traffickers heading towards American shores in speedboats. So these tensions between the UK and Britain have a long and even recent history. And I just want to come back, James, to MAGA and Donald Trump's problem with his core influencers. Tucker Carlson, the former Fox News host and now podcaster, who was in the White House only last week consulting with President Trump, is furious about this war on Iran and told an ABC reporter by phone over the weekend that he considers it absolutely disgusting and evil. That is the scale of the difficulty Donald Trump is waking up to here this morning domestically.
Oh, well, we will be no doubt talking again later in the week. Thank you. Quite a lot of love, as always, coming in for you. I thought I'd done a decent job for 2 hours, but you just smashed it out of the park in 15 minutes. Thank you, Simon Marks. We'll speak later in the week.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom, President Trump says he's very disappointed in Keir Starmer for initially blocking the US from using UK military sites to target Iran. America now has access to two, but Donald Trump says it took far too long for the Prime Minister to change his mind. Keir Starmer has stressed the usage of the sites will be in a defensive capacity and the UK won't be involved in any offensive action. Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper explained to LBC this morning the reason for the shift.
Over the weekend, what we've seen is now attacks by Iran on partner countries that weren't involved in any strikes on Iran and countries where there are 300,000 British citizens. And that's why we have said we would provide the support for defensive action, and that is crucial.
President Trump says US attacks on Iran will continue until America's objectives are achieved. It's unclear how long the Trump administration plans to continue its military campaign. Nicholas Hopton is a former UK ambassador to Iran and thinks Donald Trump now has two options.
The choices are pretty stark, really. He can either declare victory, having decapitated the Iranian regime. The alternative is likely to be escalation and further bloodshed without a clear outcome, either for the people in Iran or in the region.
In the past hour, it's emerged two more drones heading towards RAF Akrotiri have been successfully intercepted. It's the second time in 12 hours that the base in Cyprus has been targeted. No injuries have been reported, but families living nearby are being moved as a precaution. And EasyJet has announced that it is cancelling all flights to and from Cyprus. Tens of thousands of British nationals are stranded across the Middle East as a result of closed airspace. Do stay with LBC for the very latest. One other story this lunchtime, the Home Secretary says Britain will pay failed asylum seekers more money to leave the country if they cooperate with the immigration system. Shabana Mahmood's due to outline her plans this week, which are modelled on Danish policy. Ms Mahmood's been speaking to LBC's political editor, Natasha Clark.
To house somebody in asylum accommodation in a hotel, it costs £53,000 a year per person. I think paying more than what we currently do is still going to be considerably less than what we're spending on these people staying in asylum hotels. Well, look, I haven't made any final decisions on what the right sum and the right sort of package will be for our country.
But it could be up to £30,000.
It will be more than what we currently offer.
You can see and read more on this story on the LBC app. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 102 at £10,807. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, rain will move east across northern and western areas, dry, mild and sunny in the southeast, a high of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Dominic Ellis.
We asked patients at Great Ormond Street Hospital what makes someone special.
They can make me laugh lots and lots and lots and lots.
They have to write arts and crafts.
Their favourite food is chocolate cake.
They might be a magician, so they can magically make me better.
They will be kind.
Does that sound like you? Be someone special and leave a gift in your will to Gosh Charity. Search Gosh Legacy for your Gifts in Wills guide.
Thank you.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It is 7 minutes after 12. I'll read this out because I sometimes read out Entrance for Idiots Corner, but this is for Realists Corner from Alyssa. As always, listening to at Mr. James OB has added thought-provoking nuance to a subject, and I thought I was getting better at thinking through things myself. But with big topics like this, I feel I need James's voice in my head to see all sides. Well, that's a lovely thing to say, but of course, this programme is nothing without people ringing in, and there's been proof of that particular pudding in spades today. And we will continue, really, with my now almost crystallised conviction that Starmer couldn't have done anything differently. I wonder if you were at 10 o'clock this morning or even at 11 o'clock this morning, you were of the view that Starmer had been supine in his support. Remember, when I came on air at 10 o'clock, I was still getting messages about how pleased people were that Starmer had not supported the United States. So that statement made last night didn't get in time to make most editions of most newspapers. I'm very flattered that you don't turn the radio on until 10 o'clock, but it meant that at 10 o'clock this morning you were turning on the radio thinking that Keir Starmer had told Donald Trump to sling his hook. And of course he had told Donald Trump to sling his hook in the context of the first and almost certainly illegal attack in conjunction with Benjamin Netanyahu, fresh from genocide in Gaza, in attacking illegally Iran. So there's no great mystery about why Keir Starmer would want nothing to do with that, although it is a big enough mystery for Kemi Badenoch to be signally unable to understand. And then Iran started attacking UK allies in the Middle East, up to and including the UK airbase in Cyprus. And although he didn't know that that had happened at the time that he made the announcement, that has happened. Well, the first drone reportedly went into the air before he made his announcement and crash-landed just outside Arotiki shortly after he had made the announcement. So make of that what you will. The point being that the situation changed beyond recognition from a situation where Iran has done, I mean, state-sponsored terrorism notwithstanding, but in military terms, certainly in terms of that Ronald Reagan-era law that was enacted forbidding American governments from assassinating foreign leaders. They're not supposed to go to war without congressional approval. The situation changed, and Starmer was asked a completely different question about whether or not UK bases could be used to attack positions from which Iran was attacking us. And that's why I'm pretty sure now that he's done the right thing. And I'm just backtracking and re-establishing all of that because I think it's important to change your mind when the facts change. Keir Starmer has essentially done that. And so should you. So should you. It is 10 minutes after 12. We should have a little bit of domestic news as well. I don't know if you were listening to Nick this morning. He conducted an interview with Matt Goodwin, I'm told. And I thought it would probably be, I don't know. He's the fellow that lost in Gorton and Denton last week, although I believe that Nigel Farage has appointed him as the shadow MP for Gorton and Denton. But I thought we'd listen back to some of that interview that Matt Goodwin gave to Nick Ferrari earlier. And here's a little taster of it, and then we'll listen to the whole thing later this hour. Okay, that was Matt Goodwin, the shadow MP for Gorton and Denton. I don't know, complaining. But we'll hear the whole interview later in the programme. Greece has sent, as they say, two Greek frigates and two F-16 fighter jets en route to Cyprus after the island became the target of drone strikes on Monday. France and Germany joining Keir Starmer in that announcement about support for defensive strikes. But as an earlier, did I just mispronounce Akrotiri? I did, didn't I? Sorry. I'm doing my best this morning, honestly. As far as we're aware, as far as I'm aware, and it took an earlier caller to point this out, there's a difference between having bases from which American can launch attacks and being supportive of the tactic while not actually supplying the bases yourself. I don't think that's a hair split. I think that's a significant difference. But Greece now joining allies in defending positions from Iranian attacks, even though the Iranian attacks wouldn't be happening were it not for the illegal assault upon Iran by other allies. All right, are you still with me at the back? So, did Keir Starmer get it right? Boris is in Luxembourg. Boris, what do you reckon?
Hi, James. Thanks very much for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Okay. Did he get it right? I don't think he did.
Okay.
And let me give you two very worrying scenarios and one positive scenario of why I think we should really think over whether we're going to get sucked into this or not. Issue number one is, with the assassination of the Ayatollah Khomeini, we've not just had killed the head of Iran, but we've also killed the person that is the head of the religion for 250 million, some of them quite fanatic Shiites, living all over the world, including 400,000 in Germany, for example. I don't know how many in the UK. And we have to understand that the Khomeini isn't just the head of the religion. It's like, sure, like the Pope equivalent.
Yes.
But even more than that, he is, as I understand it, the keeper of the hidden iman, which almost makes him into a Jesus Christ-like figure. And when I look at those figures of people mourning now for the next couple of 40 days, apparently, in Iran, I just hope that I've got sufficient distance with my family, with anybody who's got fanatical ideas about what to do as a result of that.
So it could have, rather than removing the threat of terrorism, it could well have provoked and prompted more. But this is simultaneously a really important distinction, Boris, but also an exercise in splitting hairs. Starmer was not party to that assassination.
I agree with that. I agree. He was not party of starting the war, and he kept the distance. But before he starts throwing us, everybody in the Western world, in Europe and the UK, again into this risk, he should be taking that into consideration. So you're right, he didn't start.
But he has taken it into consideration. The drone attacks reaching our bases in Cyprus, our allies coming under attack from Iran. Just explain to me how he could do nothing.
Okay. Can I make my second point?
Yeah, of course you can. Sorry.
Then we can talk about those drones. Second thing is, of course, with taking out Iran, every single country, whether it's a democracy or whether it is a dictatorship, will now be looking at their own defense and will be thinking, do I need a nuclear weapon myself? And this will happen not just in dictatorial regimes like Iran, but this will happen in places like Germany, Japan, Korea. So with Trump's foreign policy, this is just an escalation of nuclear proliferation everywhere. That's going to be the biggest disaster and the biggest legacy that Trump is going to leave behind. Now, my last and my positive point is, the great thing about what Trump has done here is, by taking out the head of a state and the rest of the cabinet and officially targeting them, so starting a war and saying, I'm going to kill the people that run this country, he has now shifted international law, and we the people, we should hold on to this. From now on, anybody who is involved in a war or who starts a war should become a legitimate target. And if Keir Starmer goes down and gets sucked into this, he too should be a target. Trump should be a target. Putin should be a target. Maybe when we get the people who are in charge of starting the wars responsible with their lives for starting the wars, maybe they're not going to be so trigger happy before. So those were my three points. We should be holding on, because people will try to waffle about it again and say, oh no, that was, you know, it was Iran, it was a special case. No. If this is now international law, they have no more immunity. And that's fine with me. That's the way it should be. Why should they sit in their big, beautiful palaces, safety, when we take a 19-year-old kid, conscript him, put him in a tank, and then give him into the Ukraine or Russian war?
I said to an earlier caller, I wish that we lived in the world that you describe, and I'm going to say the same thing to you, but we don't. So you can't really use that as a camouflage for the difficult question that Keir Starmer has had to answer. You can't answer a question about the horns of the dilemma that he faced by saying, well, the horns should never have existed, or that people who... I don't think international law in the context of illegal wars, I don't think it's ever been weaker. Vladimir Putin must be laughing all the way to wherever it is that he goes for downtime at the moment, because what America is doing is comparable, of course, to what Russia has done, albeit that Iran was a much more deserving target of aggression than Ukraine ever was.
James, I don't want to be... Now, but back to your question in terms of what other choices do we have, right?
Yeah. In this moment, in the last 24 hours, the shift from the attack that he didn't support to the decision to support responses to the attack that Iran has launched.
And that is based on what? On two drones suddenly...
No, it's not. It's based upon missiles landing in Jordan. It's based upon attacks upon other allies. Okay. It's based upon U.S. Air Force bases that are on the soil that belongs to our allies. So it's based upon the international network of obligations and treaties.
I understand that. And how how is that different from Israel constantly bombing Beirut just because some people who are allies of the Iranis start launching attacks on Israel from the land of Lebanon? How does that differ?
How does what differ?
So you have a situation where Iran is saying, I'm going to attack these allies of you because you're using them to
I understand your point, but you're doing it again. You're doing it again because two wrongs don't make a right. I find that an awful lot of the things that Israel does are almost certainly in breach of international law, up to and including genocide in Gaza. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Iran is doing what Iran is doing, and Keir Starmer's job is to respond.
I agree, but I still maintain, given the risks and threats we have, given that this is clearly started out of the blue by Israel and the United States,
yes,
the thing to do right now for us in the Western world and Western Europe, including the UK, get the beer on ice, get the popcorn on, listen to LBC in terms of what happens, and relax.
And when British troops die?
And you will have to pay a little bit more on the pump.
And when British military personnel die?
When? Because two drones...
But do we change then?
Well, if we have real facts about Cyprus being attacked, not by drones, why would Iran fly these drones? Look at the map where Cyprus is.
If we move into the realms of disputing the veracity, the veracity of reports that we're receiving, and there's three now, then there's no point continuing the conversation. But three Americans have already died. if some of the missiles that have been launched at installations in the Middle East had achieved their goal, it's not beyond reasonable doubt that British military personnel would also have been vulnerable to attack. And I presume your position, what we might describe, Boris, as the popcorn position, I presume that would change the moment British blood was spilt by Iranian retaliation to an attack that had nothing to do with Britain.
If it is targeted, yes. If a bomb lands somewhere
if it's collateral, then the same principle stands, because you could have taken out the means by which that missile has been launched, and you have urged Keir Starmer not to do so.
You are convincing, and maybe you should have gotten that PhD instead of mine from the LSE.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, maybe both of us could have done a better job than Steve Witkoff and Jared Kushner, but it's not for us to say. Boris, thank you. I always enjoy talking to you.
Conflict in the Middle East. Follow live on LBC.
A southern train is a place where family moments become more peaceful. Where you can spread out and a game of I Spy gets a scenic upgrade with snacks, stories and the occasional sheep for a bonus point. Less stress, more yes with kids tickets for £2 at southernrailway.com. Terms apply.
Hi, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bower leg, curved leg, flared, straight or skinny?
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. As a landlord, you will need to get on top of these important changes. They will affect how you manage your tenancies. Act now. Read the guidance at gov.uk/renting-is-changing.
Jay here knows that Zoopla can provide valuations for any home in the UK, so we can see what that new couple across the road might have paid.
Ooh la la.
Have a nose at what the curtain twitchers next door could sell for. And even see what his own place is worth.
Cool, look at that.
Plus, Zoopla lets you find and compare local estate agents if you do decide to sell up. Think of all those new neighbours you'll be able to snoop on, Jay. If you want to know, just ask Zoopla.
This is LBC.
With Vauxhall. Proud partner of Team GB.
21 minutes after 12 is the time. And then, of course, the ripples from the rock. It's a weak metaphor, but it's an accurate one. The rock that has been tossed into the pond of international relations, not just Middle Eastern politics, by Benjamin Netanyahu and Donald Trump now, with Lindsey Graham, his key ally, sort of saying it's not our job to have a plan. That's incredible, right? Also disavowing that Colin Powell comment about if you break it, you own it. Lindsey Graham, and therefore by association possibly Donald Trump, seem to have learnt one lesson only from the US adventures in Iraq, and that is, well, don't even pretend that you've got any interest whatsoever in what happens after you've achieved your short-term self-interested goals. That interview, I may play it to you again, actually. Just, I mean, bonkers, right? I disagree with the if you break it, you own it. So you go into a foreign country, you blow stuff up, you assassinate the leader, and then you just clear off home and hope that you've somehow done enough to change the direction of traffic on Donald Trump's approval ratings, on the imminent midterm elections, and crucially, I honestly believe, crucially, on the refusal of the Jeffrey Epstein scandal to go away from Donald Trump's point of view. I developed an allergy some time ago to dead cats because it just used to annoy me, and this is a me problem, not a you problem, is that I'd sit here trying to provide you with detailed and often quite complicated analysis of difficult situations, and you'd send me a little text that just said something like, yeah, but he's only doing it because of Jeffrey Epstein. And I just thought, what's the point in trying to see the nuance? What's the point in trying to see the complexities and the wrinkles in this moment if you're just going to send me a message going, yeah, but Epstein? And that's a me problem. I'm allergic to that dead cat there. But of course, it's true. Not all the time, not always, that everything that Donald Trump does is not designed exclusively to distract from whatever the last scandal was. But it's a bit like Boris Johnson. We used to talk about it when Boris Johnson was Prime Minister. But on this occasion, I'm afraid the dead cat is absolutely relevant and crucial to understanding any of this. Simon Marks and I have been pointing out for months that the bigger Epstein gets, and remember, it's brought down a member of the royal family and a former ambassador to the United States of America so far, just in this little country, the bigger it gets, this problem, the more mad Donald Trump will be in his attempts to avoid it. So, you know, you might as well have called this military action Operation Epstein Fury, because I honestly believe that it is a huge part of his reasoning. Self-interest, self-interest, self-interest. Again, with Boris Johnson, if you're trying to work out why he has done anything, then all you need to do is grasp what he believes will be the best for him and him alone in the shortest term. The shortest term. The space of a single news cycle. So that's how you end up in this sort of situation. And that is why Starmer's job, whether you like it or not, you prefer your politics binary and simplistic, but tough. Starmer's job is really difficult in this moment. And I think he's got it absolutely right. Absolutely right. I think he had a terrible weekend. He's lost another minister. I don't know whether you've seen this. It's been rather overshadowed by events. But the minister who was running the Labour Together think tank when it was commissioning extraordinary and inappropriate investigations into UK journalists, he's gone. Josh Simons, his name. The immediate response to the Gorton and Denton by-election, for me, is another nail in the coffin of his premiership. Let me be absolutely clear about that. Coming out and talking about extremists on both sides, as if you can somehow compare people who voted Green with people who voted for Farage's crypto-fascist bandwagon, is insanely stupid. Almost everybody that voted Green would have been at some point in their life sympathetic to or voting for the Labour Party. And Keir Starmer has insulted them all. Listen, not as badly as Farage, who I think has now come out and said, I'm not sure that anyone who voted Green works. I don't know why he is so sour grapey. But is it two for two now? It's because he lost Keir Philly and he lost Gorton and Denton. So his sort of self-image now, his thin-skinned, his paper-thin skin is now bruised, and he can't quite deal with the fact of failure. You'd have thought he'd have got used to it by now. He had about six goes at becoming an MP. Oh, I'm told that we have got some exclusive footage of Nigel Farage also reflecting on the Gorton and Denton by-election as well. So we heard earlier from the shadow MP for Gorton and Denton on the subject of last week's result. We now have a few words from the leader of Reform UK, or whatever it's called. Odd. It sounds very similar to each other. I'd never really picked up on that before. But Keir Starmer's problem, withstanding all of that last week, was disastrous. Really disastrous, talking about extremists going green. But I think he's got this absolutely right. I'm only mentioning the stuff from last week so that you don't think I'm engaging in footballification myself. I think Starmer's almost certainly toast. But I think he's got this absolutely bang on. You can almost tell. Something else I'm allergic to, along with the dead cats, is by saying that you can judge the goodness of a situation by who objects to it. But if Donald Trump is complaining, and Kemi Badenoch is complaining, and Nigel Farage is complaining, and Jeremy Corbyn is complaining, then it's possible that you've pulled off a moment of diplomacy that is absolutely magnificent. We shall see. Enough from me. Al's in Glasgow. Al, what would you like to say?
Yeah, hi. Earlier on, you asked a question, what would doing nothing look like?
I love the way you say earlier on, without being rude enough to say, before you just embarked on that interminable and not entirely relevant fifth monologue of the morning. Thank you, Al. I did ask, what would doing nothing look like?
I couldn't possibly see something like that. But anyway, yes, you asked that question. So, what would doing nothing look like? Yeah. First of all, our inability to defend our own bases or people or interests alone. So, for example, what if British shipping is attacked and the US declined to defend them?
Who are you going to call, as it were?
And there was an interesting guy, I mention him from time to time, Malcolm Nance, who's a US intelligence guy.
Mm.
He was saying, Iran's naturally going to go through drones all around the place, and you know, they've probably got hundreds or thousands of these Shaheds, and if they start appearing towards, you know, flying towards shipping, then what can we do? We need people to help us. So that's one factor.
That's,
I think,
really
that Starmer's got to, he's got to consider that. The other one is, if we don't provide access to or the use of these bases, Trump could, I mean, he's vindictive. He could just come back and say, you don't do that. I'm not going to provide intelligence or air defense or sales of arms to Ukraine. And I think, if anything, that's the biggest issue we need to stay focused on and not compromise.
I think those are two really brilliant points, actually, and ones that have been largely absent from the conversations that we've been having today. In that, he's already smarting at the failure to support the original, probably illegal attack. If you'd compounded that by not being part of the response to the response, then who here would not put money on him responding in an incredibly petulant and pathetic, but nonetheless deeply damaging to UK interests kind of way? All right, you're on your own. They've hijacked one of your oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz. Well, you're on your own. You didn't help us. We're not going to. Oh, and also, have another 20% on your tariffs as well. He could do anything, right?
And I think this is down to Trump management. And I think it's clever of Starmer to coordinate responses with Merz and Macron.
Yes, I do too. Even though they've got less, I overuse this phrase slightly, they've got less on the line. That's better than what I was going to say. They've got less on the line in the context of where these bases are and what those alliances involve.
Yeah. And I know that when I switch on the news, you know, and hear one thing, I'll, you know, get a knee-jerk reaction. And, you know, I'll start throwing things at the radio. But then after a few minutes and had my cup of tea, I'll have a considered reaction. And basically, we pay Starmer to do the latter.
Yes, that's exactly right.
To weigh up all the information available to him and to make decisions. And so, for the time being at least, I'm trusting him to do that.
Yeah, I am. I'm quite pleased, actually, to find myself in a position of rather more positivity, albeit that I wish the bigger picture wasn't happening, with regard to his diplomacy. He's always seemed to be better on the international stage than the domestic stage. But two powerful answers there to the simple question of what would doing nothing look like. Of course, a question no one can answer, not least because the United States regime has entirely disassociated itself from any responsibility whatsoever for the outcomes of what it's doing, is the question that General David Petraeus asked in 2003 of Rick Atkinson of the Washington Post. This is remembered in a rather good piece by Max Hastings, who is one of the few people that you should turn to really first when it comes to comments on these kind of moments. And I can say that with complete objectivity, because he once sacked my late father, so he's not a man for whom I hold an enormous amount of affection. But it's him that recalls that question Petraeus put to the journalist Rick Atkinson of the Washington Post in Baghdad in 2003. Tell me how this ends. And who here, I mean, a timely reminder from Al of just how different the world is today, who here thinks that Donald Trump has given a tiny moment, a scintilla of contemplation or consideration to what happens to the ordinary Iranians on the ground in Tehran, some of whom currently celebrating, delighted that the Ayatollah has gone. But who here honestly thinks that Donald Trump gives a monkeys about them? This, after all, is a man who described the 1,800 Marines who lost their lives at Belleau Wood in the Second World War as suckers for getting killed. This after he, of course, cancelled a visit to the American cemetery near Paris in 2018 because he was worried that the weather would leave his hair looking even more ridiculous than usual. One senior staff member later recalled Trump saying, "Why should I go to that cemetery? It's filled with losers." Another one of those moments when you think, did people not notice what he was like the first time round? Dick Littlejohn writing articles about why he wants Britain to be led by Donald Trump, not Keir Starmer. Is he ignorant of the fact that Trump has described people who made the ultimate sacrifice, Americans who gave their lives in defence of the West? He's described them as suckers and losers. Or does Dick Littlejohn and people like him just not care about stuff like that? Because, I don't know, is it just because the racism is so seductive and intoxicating? I honestly have no clue. Matt Hewitt is here now with your headlines.
President Trump says Sir Keir Starmer took far too long to allow the US to use British military sites to target Iran, and he's very disappointed. The Prime Minister reconsidered his original opposition, saying the request later became a defensive one to target Iranian missile sites. It's being reported a fourth US service member has lost their life in the conflict. They're said to have been seriously wounded during Iran's initial attacks and succumbed to their injuries. The Foreign Secretary Yvette Cooper has been telling LBC all options are being explored to help British nationals stranded in the Middle East. 102,000 citizens have registered their presence in the region with the Foreign Office. The government could evacuate people if regional airspace remains closed due to the conflict. Families have been moved from a major British base in Cyprus, RAF Akrotiri, after its airfield was hit by a drone. It comes as EasyJet cancels all its flights to and from the island. Authorities in Kuwait say several American warplanes have crashed near a US airbase in the country, but that all crew members survived. LBC weather, rain moving east across northern and western areas, dry, mild and sunny in the southeast, a high of 15 degrees.
Call LBC now, 0345 6060973. Text 84850.
Whether your dreams involve an adventure, trying something you've never done before, or just taking some time to fully relax, you can bank on Lloyds to make it happen. And thanks to Lloyds, here's your chance to win one of three aspirational breaks, with spending money enabling you to try something new. Just go to lbc.co.uk for your chance to win. I'm James O'Brien. It's 12:34.
This is LBC.
Octopus Energy, great value and outstanding customer service, recommended by Which? A record 9 years running.
If you were missold a home on a holiday park, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive compensation. Text ADVICE to 78900.
Hey, Harry.
Hello, mate.
Got any tips for the football?
Your best bet is to head over to BetVictor. They're giving new customers a terrific welcome offer. If you bet a minimum of £10, they'll give you £30 in free bets.
Oh, that's a steal of a deal.
It's a good darn deal that'll make you squeal for real. Neil?
My name's not Neil.
I know, but it rhymes.
Listen to Harry and make your best bet on the football at BetVictor. 18 plus, opt in and bet on any football marketing at odds of evens or greater. No cash out, 7-day expiry. Terms and conditions apply. Gambleaware.org.
Aye, I'm looking for a pair of jeans.
Right. Low slung, slouchy, wide leg, bow leg, curved leg. Flared, straight or skinny?
Blue?
Fashion. It's hard to keep on top of. Other things, like the upcoming changes to renting, are a bit easier. As a landlord, you will need to get on top of these important changes. They will affect how you manage your tenancies. Act now. Read the guidance at gov.uk/renting is changing.
People ask me, what's my good place? Wild swimming with the girls on a chilly spring morning. And knowing that with PensionBee, I can choose to invest in line with my values, which is why I picked their climate plan.
Last one in by blood!
At PensionBee, we believe that when your pension is in a good place, you're in a good place. Download the app or go to PensionBee.com and be pension confident when investing your capital is at risk.
This is LBC.
With Vauxhall. Energising a better Britain.
12:37 is the time. US Central Command reporting that a fourth member of US military personnel has been killed. And also reports coming in that an oil refinery in Saudi Arabia has been hit by an Iranian drone. Escalation is, of course, the word of the moment. And what Starmer should do in the face of that escalation was the question that we began the show with this morning. Don't be part of the original, almost certainly illegal attack. In other words, marching into war in the Middle East in the company of a depraved moral bankrupt and the genocidal leader of Israel. Correct decision. Contribute, however, to attempts to defend your own interests and your allies from Iran's response to that illegal attack. Also the correct decision. The world is a complicated place, never more so than when human beings are killing other human beings. Keir Starmer, I think, has plotted. I don't know if it was even a very difficult choice for him to make. But he has plotted, I think, the entirely correct course on this occasion. And I speak as someone who thinks he's getting almost everything else wrong at the moment. 12:38 is the time. What about you? Paul's in Cambridge. Paul, what would you like to say?
Thanks for taking the call, James. So starting from the starting point of Keir Starmer, my initial reaction was fury.
Was it?
Because I've changed, but I was furious because I'm always furious when people pander to Trump.
Yes.
Because it's like feeding the rabid dog. And people must be, I've been following Trump for 10 years. 10 years ago, I said, this guy is going to end the world if we're not careful. I saw him stalking Hillary. I saw it as crystal clear, and I've been trying to do my little bit to speak out and inform people about what a monster he is.
Well, I bet you're feeling very silly now, aren't you, Paul?
I know. I was wrong. It was all right. I got it all wrong.
Yeah,
what a fool I am. The golden age is descended upon her in the form of a big, fat, orange
You sound like Dig Little John, Paul, for which I apologise. I should never really accuse anybody of that.
So I agree that, finally, after my rage, I agree Trump has no... Starmer had no choice.
Yeah.
I get that. But that's the problem. We're putting ourselves constantly in positions of being defensive, of having no choice. Until we stand up, Europe, Britain, against this monster... And do something about him. We're going to keep on having no choices, James. It's going to keep on happening.
But what do you do? I mean, you know, the drones are heading towards Cyprus. Other allies are under attack. The original attack upon Iran is unjustified and largely unjustifiable, regardless of how warmly we may welcome the removal of the Ayatollah or how complicit Iran has been in state-sponsored terrorism. Those are the things that have to be interrogated in international courts or at least examined and therefore approved by Congress. You can't justify anything that's been done as an autonomous decision taken by Trump and Netanyahu, and Starmer had nothing to do with that. But then the world changes according to what they did on Saturday, and in that world what Trump has done subsequently is correct. And also, it's all very well talking about feeding a rabid dog, and I'm now going to take your metaphor and stretch it to breaking point. What if by feeding the rabid dog you stop the rabid dog from biting you, eh?
They generally don't.
That's not the point. That's not the point. In my theoretical counterfactual, you feed the rabid dog and it actually won't bite you for a bit.
Well, I tell you what, you try it your way, I try it mine.
Here's a rabid dog. First, catch your rabid dog. But you take my point. I mean, Trump is impossible to reason with, because you might be in his good books yesterday and then be in his bad books tomorrow, as Keir Starmer frequently seems to oscillate between the two, doesn't he? But if you take the decision objectively, set aside the fact that Trump will either approve or disapprove of what you're doing and do what you believe to be right, I think you end up doing what Keir Starmer has done on both occasions.
I agree.
Yeah.
As I said, he put himself in that... We're in that position where he had no choice, or Keir Starmer had no choice and did the right thing. But I'm talking about dealing with the underlying problem. And I'm talking about, for example, sanctions against America, as far as that.
Then the tariffs come back times a thousand, don't they?
We have to suffer a little bit with our bloody Budweiser. We have to suffer a bit.
I think it's a little bit... I mean, you know, it's a little bit more complicated than that. If we were to impose sanctions on the United States of America, they'd impose even more sanctions on us. And, of course, the tariffs thing, is as Simon Marks keeps reminding us, How much of the coverage in this country even mentioned tariffs? That hat-trick of horror shows that Trump has got going on at the moment, Epstein, tariffs, being overruled by a Supreme Court that he'd tried to rig in his favour anyway, and then approval rating. So this trident of trouble, this hat-trick of horrors, that I started speaking fluent tabloid, that Donald Trump finds himself caught between at the moment. His approval ratings have gone through the floor. The Supreme Court has adjudged his tariff hallmark policy to be illegal. Going to have to start refunding companies and countries soon. And Epstein is not going away. Everybody knows he's lying when he claims that he's been completely exonerated. Unfortunately, there are now no proper journalists left in a position to point that out to him. First thing anybody would have said 5 years ago, if a president or 2 years ago had attempted such a blatant and public lie, would have been, I'm sorry, but how do you work that out? There are all sorts of accusations and allegations against you in the bits that have actually been released. How on earth can you claim that you've been completely exonerated by anything that hasn't been fully published, let alone the stuff that has been published, giving the lie to the idea that you've been completely exonerated? But there it is. There he goes. Still, more or less, untroubled by truth and reality. Thank you, Paul. Anna is in Edinburgh. Anna, what would you like to say?
Hello.
Hello, Anna. What would you like to say?
I'm a student and I live in UK for 7 years, but I just called to express my happiness about things happening in Iran. So none of the social media or anywhere cover things really happen in Iran. And what is people are so happy in Iran because the dictatorship died. And I just want to express my happiness and say thank you to Trump and Netanyahu. They just been so brave. They did something really huge.
I welcome your applause for what is an act of almost certain international criminality, but I don't think you can call Donald Trump brave without me pushing back at least a little bit, Anna. What do you think is going to happen next?
I just hope peace and justice and happiness for my people. We have a king. He lives in America at the moment, but we hope he's back, King Reza Pahlavi. And everyone is waiting for him.
I hope you're right. I really do. And it's not my job today to drizzle on your parade. I really hope you're right. But I can't think of any other examples from history of countries being liberated by foreign intervention and then moving effortlessly and happily towards peace. Can you?
Yeah, but the leader we used to have, he was an Iranian as well. He was KGB guy from Russia. He trained to be leader of Iran.
The question I'm just asking is about other countries where there's been regime change essentially imposed from outside that has turned out well for the people in that country. I'm just struggling to think of an example.
Yeah, but King Reza Pahlavi, he's Iranian.
I know who he's the son of the last Shah. I know exactly who he is, but it doesn't change the fact that there are no historical precedents. And he, of course, his father was overthrown by the CIA and MI6.
Yeah.
So it proves my point, really, about the difficulty of finding any examples from history. But I join you wholeheartedly in hoping for peace and happiness, and indeed in reminding us something we've been saying throughout the program, that many Iranians, both inside and outside Iran, will be celebrating the removal of the Ayatollah from the planet, not just, of course, from office. That's it, really, isn't it? That's it. It's all you've got is hope. And I hope that your hope turns out to be justified.
Coming up at 1 on LBC, Sheila Fogarty.
Defensive, not offensive, legal or illegal. Keir Starmer weighs up his response as bombing continues in the Middle East. The UK, the US and the global perspective, all right here.
Sheila Fogarty at 1. Listen on our free Global Player app or the LBC app.
At Lloyds, we love that moment a dream becomes a reality. Like for Rob, he's in the supermarket when his phone bleeps. It's his daughter. She's in Manchester at uni. The message is short. she's happy. And just like that, Rob knows every penny he invested and saved was worth it. He texts her back, heart emoji. At Lloyd's, we've been asking the nation about their dreams. That's how we know Rob's story and thousands of others just like it. We've been backing the nation's aspirations for 250 years. So when it's time to realise your dreams, we're ready when you are. Bank on Lloyd's.
The Philly cheesesteak is back at McDonald's and it's still intensely cheesy. Imagine the cheesiest thing ever. Now cover it in cheese. Add two beef patties, cheddar cheese sauce, crispy onions and even more cheese. The Philly cheesesteak. Did we mention it's cheesy? Available until the 16th of March 2026 from 11 a.m. Fees apply to delivery orders. Price and participation may vary, subject to availability.
Serious about the right vitamins for you and your family? Trust Vitabiotics, the UK's number one vitamin company, for expert nutritional care for every age and lifestyle. Vitamins for everyone, including well man, well woman, well baby and well kid. From Boots, pharmacies and Vitabiotics.com. For number one verification, see Vitabiotics.com.
At TfL, we're opening up more of London for everyone with step-free access. We're continuing to improve accessibility at many of our stations, and now over 200 stations and counting have step-free access, including the entire Elizabeth Line, DLR and all tram stops. That is how we're making the greener way to travel more accessible to all. Search TfL Improvement Plan. To the Mayor of London and TfL, every journey matters. Greener than total estimated petrol and diesel car emissions.
At Amazon, over 50% of deliveries now come with less packaging or with no added packaging at all. It's a difference you'll notice on your doorstep, where you chat with friends, where your neighbour's daughter practices guitar, and where we deliver your new noise-cancelling headphones in the manufacturer's packaging. Ah, much better. Reduced packaging from Amazon. We're delivering change where it matters, on your doorstep. Based on 2025 Amazon packaging data across the UK and EU.
This is LBC.
With Vauxhall, proud partner of Team GB.
It's 12:48. Operation Boot it was. I got my facts a little bit wrong there, but I possibly should have been corrected. The Prime Minister of Iran overthrown in a coup d'etat in August of 1953 in an operation that was instigated by MI6 and CIA. Ideally, or rather obviously, to protect British oil interests in Iran after the Prime Minister nationalised the country's oil industry. So setting in motion a chain of events that may, of course, be coming to an end in the next few weeks, although it seems highly unlikely. That Lindsey Graham interview is probably the one that... he's not a very important person, but he gets an awful lot of coverage because he's such a fully paid-up member of the Trump fan club. But the idea that there is no longer any responsibility to worry about what happens next, it's extraordinary to hear them say it out loud. And who would have thought that the lesson of Iraq, which was initially successful, it's easy to forget that, greeted with enormous celebration both inside and outside Iraq. I don't think many people looking back would argue, particularly Iraqis, that they've come out of that scenario better off than they went into it. But in the first moment, the toppling of Saddam Hussein, the killing of the Ayatollah in Iran, you can see why people would celebrate, because they've lived under the yoke of deeply oppressive regimes, and there's a little glimpse of freedom. But Iraq has taught us that if you don't have a plan as to what's going to happen next, then there is every possibility things will be, however bad you think they were before, there is every possibility things will be even worse afterwards. And the lesson of Iraq would be, don't go in with all guns blazing unless you've got really clear ideas and plans as to what's going to happen next. But the lesson that people like Lindsey Graham and quite possibly Donald Trump have taken from history, from Iraq, would be, well, don't even pretend it's your job to have a plan as to what's going to happen next. That old caution from Colin Powell that if you break it, you own it, completely rejected by Lindsey Graham in that interview I played you earlier. I said, no, we can break it and then just sod off. We can break it and just vacate the premises. So that would be my lesson. And as I said to Anna in Edinburgh a moment ago, I hope that you're right, and I hope that things do go better for the people of Iran. But your neighbour's just called from the last country that had its leader, its autocratic, murderous leader, toppled by US intervention, killed by US intervention, and they don't necessarily paint a very positive picture of what you can expect. Armin is in East Ham. Armin, what would you like to say?
Hi, James. Hi, how
mate.
Are you doing?
Very well, mate. What's going on?
Very good, very good. As a British Iranian, I just had to call in to respond to that previous caller who said Trump and Netanyahu were heroes.
Yes.
And that is an absolute joke.
You can say that. I didn't feel that it would be appropriate for me to do so
on
a day like today.
I get that. Okay. I understand. Mm. I think, but I also understand and I get why Iranians like they see any, like you were saying, any glimmer of hope to see this theocratic, oppressive regime. Like when you're in a traumatic state, you just want to grasp at anything to get out of it. But
yes,
look at history, do people really think Israel and America are doing it for the freedom of the Iranian people? I mean, it's so obvious, and it's just so unfortunate that people fall for this. And, you know, when I go to the pro-Palestinian marches and see the Iranian flag next to the Israeli flag, it makes me sad because, like, it makes me feel like people aren't seeing the self-interested motives of Israel or America, to be honest.
Well, Israel's motivation is different from Donald Trump's, or rather, Netanyahu's motivation is different from Donald Trump's. He's got his eye on elections, or still got his eye on possible prosecution, anything to keep the guns firing, he calculates will play well for him domestically. But Trump, I mean, Simon Marks highlighted it perfectly. Trump is in so much trouble, not that you'd know it from a lot of American coverage, because, of course, most of the American media has bent the knee, that it has an air of desperation to it from the American perspective. No matter that he was doing a lap of honour 9 months ago for destroying the threat that didn't exist then, but which he claimed he'd completely removed from the map, and then suddenly had to go back 9 months later to deal with the threat that he claimed he'd completely destroyed 9 months ago, even though it didn't exist then and doesn't exist now. There's a desperation to it all that is.
I do feel like, you know, this attempt to global, like, you know, securitization, any reason to kind of bolster the war economy is going to be beneficial for a state, like for a person like Trump in the position he is. Also, Netanyahu, like, has a history of wanting to stoke enemies, you know, builds into the unfortunate history of securitization in Israel and how this has led to a walls up approach when, you know, obviously it could have been done another way, but, you know, that's history now. But unfortunately,
it's still a process, isn't it? It's an ongoing process. The Washington Post reports that US intelligence, Simon picked up on this, US intelligence assessments were that Iran was unlikely to pose an immediate threat to the US mainland within the next decade, but a weeks-long lobbying effort by Israel and Saudi Arabia essentially prompted Trump to change course and wade in to this. The other bit that I think fits in with what you say about the toppling of the supreme leader, as he styled himself, was that he didn't take special security measures, even though he knew the attacks were about to start, and was killed in his home precisely because he wanted to die in that fashion. The concept of martyrdom in Shia and in Iranian culture remains extremely potent. And then the bit I've forgotten, because I can't find the reference to it, was a bit where Trump sort of accidentally said out loud that they had two or three people in mind to replace the Ayatollah, who they thought that they could do business with, but they've gone and killed them as well.
There's no love lost with the death of the supreme leader. And
no, sure.
Yes, Iran wants to foster this sense of embattlement as well themselves, the martyrdom. Obviously, federal intervention has always had a history of rallying the people around the government, no matter how autocratic they are. So in a way, like, it's kind of, you know, there's a strong argument that this will foster a further state.
And it won't be linked, of course, if, God forbid, there's a terror attack on British or American soil and it is inspired in some way by what's happened in Iran. No one will hold the people who have responsible for attacking Iran responsible for retaliation by terrorists. I'm not sure they should either, but it's a piece of the jigsaw that never gets put on the table because.
Unfortunately, there's, you know, from the UK perspective, there's arguments that, you know, protecting British personnel, protecting British interests. But you've seen, like, in the, like, post 9/11 wars, you know, like, a continual foreign intervention
in states
in Southwest Asia will actually make us a target.
Looking for an example of where it's gone well is so far a thankless task, but that doesn't mean that there aren't examples. I've just missed them. Thank you. On the question of the Lindsey Graham interview, I saw one headline this morning. I mentioned that they'd have gone to press before Starmer had made his announcement last night. So the Daily Mail went with the headline, Starmer condemned for reluctance to back US assault. And you think, that's interesting. Who's condemned him? And it's Lindsey Graham, a man who soiled himself on live international television by letting slip that they had no, not only did they have no plan at all for what happens next, but they didn't think it was their responsibility to have a plan either, and that they reject completely the idea that if you break something, you have a responsibility to fix it. So that's who the Daily Mail turned to for. So desperate is their hatred of Keir Starmer that they end up citing a man who has humiliated himself and the United States of America on live television in his attempts to defend what is almost certainly an illegal attack upon Iran. Natasha Clark has been at a brief, can I say that out loud? Has been at a briefing at Downing Street, and she's here with some of the stuff that she's allowed to tell us.
Good afternoon, James. Yes, so I've just been listening to Downing Street talking about the situation, obviously, in Iran has mainly been dominating. They insisted that the UK does have a strong energy supply, so we've got no worries about fuel or anything domestically. But obviously the main concern, I think, from government today is how and if they need to carry out a widespread evacuation of citizens. So obviously we know there's 200,000 people expected to be in the region. And as you were just saying, the government's changing in their advice on whether we give the Americans the support to use our bases. They talked us through that basically they do think it is still in accordance with international law that we're doing this. Very important for Keir Starmer as an international lawyer to be able to make that case. And we don't at the moment have any update for whether the government believes that our bases in Cyprus were deliberately hit by Iran. I think that if that is the case, James, that's really going to change the game for how the UK government's position is. But they are still encouraging all foreign nationals to be registering with the Foreign Office in the region so they can continue to give the most up-to-date advice for what people should do.
And I imagine a statement to the House at some point today?
We're expecting the Prime Minister to
speak to the House. It's almost like I knew that.
This afternoon at around 3:30, so we'll get a little bit more from him on that. Interestingly also, James, I just wanted to add that we've been speaking to people this morning. It sounds like there are people within the government that do believe there are fears that these attacks from Iran could last for up to a week. It's believed that there is intelligence that suggests that they have learned some lessons from the 12-day war, and they are worried that Iran has got extra, essentially, capabilities to essentially last a little bit longer in terms of that. So it is a situation that obviously the government is going to be having to continually monitor potentially for another few days.
Thank you, Natasha. I think I'll leave you with the words that I started today's programme with, General David Petraeus in Baghdad as the commander of the US 101st Airborne Division in 2003, saying to Rick Atkinson of the Washington Post, "Tell me how this ends." If you missed any of today's show, you can listen back on our free Global Player app or the LBC app, where you can also stay up to date with all the latest news, videos and opinion. I know I say that every day, but we're in one of those little windows of events where it is absolutely invaluable to have the latest news at your fingertips, and of course all the latest podcasts as well. So do download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. Tom Sawbrick will be with you at 4 on LBC, but now it's Sheila Fogarty.
Thanks very much, James. I think those latest strikes in Saudi Arabia and Qatar tell us this is a moment-to-moment kind of story. Israel says it's launched additional strikes as well on Tehran following yesterday's deadly attacks on the Iranian leadership. Iran continues to bomb various Middle Eastern countries, as you just heard. Donald Trump said he didn't want America to be the world's policeman, didn't he? Or send young Americans to their deaths. Now he finds he's publicly mourning military personnel and warning more may die. Why? Why is he doing it? Straight up after the news, the President, the Prime Minister and the Ayatollah. Donald Trump disappointed in Keir Starmer. Keir Starmer accused of dithering. Ayatollah Khamenei very much dead. Stay with LBC.
On your radio, on the LBC app and
Play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 1 o'clock,
Donald Trump says he's very disappointed in Keir Starmer for initially refusing to allow the use of the joint Diego Garcia base in the Chagos Islands to target Iranian missile sites. The US president told the Telegraph it took far too long to change his mind. Now the bases can be used in a defensive capacity. The Middle East conflict is into its third day. Reform leader Nigel Farage has described the Prime Minister's response to it as pathetic.
A British sovereign base in Cyprus is directly under attack. And we must now say to the Americans, to the Israelis, we're here, we're with you, we will help you in any way we can.
Further attacks have been launched on a British military base in Cyprus, according to the government there. It says two drones heading towards RAF Akrotiri have been successfully intercepted. In the last half hour, we've heard a fourth US service member has lost their life in the conflict. The US military says they succumbed to injuries they suffered during Iran's initial attacks. LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks says some of President Trump's Make America Great Again backers are concerned.
They not only have no appetite for this war, but they believe that this is a U-turn, a massive U-turn by an American president they elected to disentangle America's military from forever wars and far-off entanglements in the Middle East about which the American public know very little.
The Iranian Red Crescent Society says the airstrike campaign has killed more than 550 people in Iran so far. With flights cancelled across the Middle East, the Foreign Office is working on evacuation plans. At least 300,000 British citizens are in countries that have been targeted by Iran since Saturday. Just over 100,000 have registered their presence in the region with the Foreign Office. Oil prices have risen sharply because of disruption to tanker traffic through the Strait of Hormuz. Iran has been threatening vessels approaching the choke point that leads to the Persian Gulf. In other news, the Home Secretary says Britain will pay failed asylum seekers more money to leave the country if they cooperate with the immigration system. Shabana Mahmood will outline her plans this week. You can see and read more on the LBC app. And two people have been injured in a suspected stabbing in Edinburgh. It follows reports of a man with knives in a block of flats in the Calder area. In the city, a short time ago, the FTSE 100 was trading down 136 points at 10,774. The pound buys $1.34 and €1.14. LBC weather, patchy rain in the west, drier in the east with bright spells, highs of 15 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Matt Hewitt.
Chase is the digital bank that boosts your savings to 4.5% AER variable.
A boost?
Yep. It includes a 2.25% AER boost for the first 12 months.
Are they being boosted now?
All the time. Bedtime, gym time, romantic dinner time. And soon you could boost your way to...
beach time.
Boost your savings with Chase. Search Chase Boosted Saver. 18 plus UK residents available to new Chase current account customers for their first 31 days. 4.41% gross interest paid monthly. Eligibility and T's and C's apply.
This is LBC from Global. Leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty.
And let's go live straight to the Pentagon, where the Defence Secretary, the US Defence Secretary Pete Hegseth, is giving an update on the operation in Iran. Let's listen.
But under President Trump, we are finishing it. Their war on Americans has become our retribution against their Ayatollah and his death cult. It took the 47th president, a fighter who always puts America first, to finally draw the line after 47 years of Iranian belligerence. He reminded the world, as he has time and time again, being an American means something unbreakable. If you kill Americans, if you threaten Americans anywhere on earth, we will hunt you down without apology and without hesitation, and we will kill you. President Trump has also been very consistent. Crazy regimes like Iran, hell-bent on prophetic Islamist delusions, cannot have nuclear weapons. It's common sense. Many have said it, but it takes guts to actually enforce it, and our president has guts. Iran's stubborn and self-evident nuclear pursuits, their targeting of global shipping lanes, and their swelling arsenal of ballistic missiles and killer drones are no longer tolerable risks. Iran was building powerful missiles and drones to create a conventional shield for their nuclear blackmail ambitions. Let me say that again. A conventional shield for their nuclear black male ambitions. Our bases, our people, our allies, all in their crosshairs. Iran had a conventional gun to our head as they tried to lie their way to a nuclear bomb. It almost worked under Obama and his terrible deal, but not under this president. Turns out the regime who chanted death to America and death to Israel was gifted death from America and death from Israel. This is not a so-called regime change war, but the regime sure did change, and the world is better off for it. Today, in their desperation, the enemy is unmasked. As Iranian missiles and drones rain down indiscriminately on the hotels, airports, apartments, and other civilian targets of their neighbors. Cowardly terrorist tactics from a regime that for decades has trafficked in cowardly terrorist tactics, lies, death, and destruction to this day. The Iranian leadership has built nothing except proxies and missiles and drones and deeply buried nuclear factories and facilities. Peaceful nuclear ambitions do not need to be buried underneath mountains. Last June, Operation Midnight Hammer obliterated their nuclear program to rubble. Afterward, we told them plainly, that's it, now make a deal. They arrogantly refused. We said, rebuild it and we'll stop you again, this time far worse. Well, President Trump, Secretary Rubio, Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner, they bent over backwards for real diplomacy, offering pathway after pathway to peace. I watched it. I was there. They tried over and over and over again, earnest attempts at peace. The former regime had every chance to make a peaceful and sensible deal. But Tehran was not negotiating. They were stalling, buying time to reload their missile stockpiles and restart their nuclear ambitions. Their goal, hold us hostage, threatening to strike our forces. Well, President Trump doesn't play those games. And as Secretary Rubio said after the Maduro raid, if you don't know, now you know. President Trump puts America and Americans first. He doesn't hesitate, and neither do our troops. The mission of Operation Epic Fury is laser focused. Destroy Iranian offensive missiles, destroy Iranian missile production, destroy their navy and other security infrastructure, and they will never have nuclear weapons. We're hitting them surgically, overwhelmingly, and unapologetically. With every passing day, our capabilities get stronger and Iran's get weaker. We set the terms of this war from start to finish. Our ambitions are not utopian. They are realistic.